talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello! Can everyone hear me okay?
No.
Okay, great.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You guys really don't know when it's good or bad when it comes right down to it. You really don't know because you don't know what we're trying to do. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. And you never will, okay? Just for your own information. Sometimes I can tell you it won't be good, and you'll see it won't be good. Sometimes you'll think it's good, and it isn't any good. Sometimes you'll think it's bad, and it was pretty darn good. Sometimes you'll think it's bad, and it was bad. But basically, you really don't know.
You're the kooky guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
I know.
There's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that.
Our feature presentation.
A lot of people, though. I mean, seriously.
That was Tom Brady saying that, by the way, which I think is awesome. He refers to himself in the third person. Do you guys get that? He's one of those guys.
I would, too, if I was Tom Brady.
Would you? Yeah. Is that what Tom Brady would do?
Tom Brady would do that all day, every day.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your Kevin? You've worked on a lot of drugs over the years that you've been doing the show. I mean, prescription pain medicine. You've done the show on a variety of drugs,
right?
Related to various injuries over the years.
Usually, right? A nice cocktail. But go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's the show on hydrocodone like? How's that feel? Is that a good one, or are we in trouble for today?
I don't know how it reacts with you. It makes me a tiny bit wired. A little bit wired. It's not like a mellow high. Why are you on it now?
Yeah, bad. I have the recurring back injury as do you last night. So I loaded up on the hydrocodone and the gabapentin both, and wired. I didn't even think about that, but I couldn't sleep. I didn't get to sleep till after midnight last night. I thought, oh, this is one of those like a Vicodin where I'll be so relaxed, I'll just fall right asleep and have the best night of my life and wake up feeling great. Instead, it was almost impossible to go to sleep, and I couldn't feel worse. And I feel like the pain is like five times worse than it was when I went to bed last night.
Yes. So things are looking up.
But I'm not going to be all like loopy and screwing up and forgetting things. It doesn't affect you that way?
Well, it can. I mean, especially if you're taking it with gabapentin. Did you say that? Yeah.
Yes.
I would guess that's a possibility. So let's have tape rolling for sure.
Does it at all give you warnings on the actual pill?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Did you read them?
I mean, it says can cause a drowsiness.
But it did the opposite.
I think it reacts with different people different ways.
Okay. But, Ali, you know from watching TV medicine commercials that the list of possible side effects on any drug is like 400 things. And they have to do that because, like Kevin said, it affects everybody a little bit differently.
So how is your 6-hour erection?
Unfortunately, that has not been a side effect of this drug.
Sorry.
I was hoping for that, but that didn't happen.
That's too bad.
So anyway, I'm likely to screw up big time today, I just wanted to give you guys the heads up on that. So.
Can't wait.
All right, real quick story to get us started here as well on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. You know, we've had a lot of bad news and yesterday we had that guy trying to kill his wife with a parachute. So I thought I'd bring you a happy story today. A very unusual story. A 17-year-old, her name is Ashley Young. She is a senior in Darien, Illinois. And her senior prom is coming up, or was coming up at the end of April, as you know. This is prom season. And she started planning for her prom. It doesn't say, as usual in the article, there's never enough information for me. She's a high schooler with no job, no car, but it says that she realized prom was coming up and she wanted to go. And her dad, for whatever reason, wasn't going to pay, so she needed to start raising the money. So she did. But it doesn't say in this article how she was able to raise the $250 that she estimated she would need for her prom. So she started going online and going to Pinterest and looking for ideas for the prom. And she was she started to think about it after she realized she was going to be spending all of this money on the dress and on the hair and on the makeup and transportation, everything. She said, after a while, I realized what I was doing was pretty vain and self-absorbed. She said, I was so consumed in figuring out how to make one night the best night of my life. So it occurred to her that there was something else she could do with this $250 that would make more of a lasting impression and be something that would be a better memory for her than just going to a prom. So she went down to Costco, and that in combination with Amazon.com, she ended up putting together 20 boxes of things for homeless people. This is a 17-year-old girl, by the way.
Wow. Aww.
Now, she's not going to prom. Instead, she's going and she's buying multiple boxes and containers of things like toothbrushes and water and energy bars and a T-shirt and just a care package. And then she packed them up in her car, and on the night of her prom, she had her dad drive her down to Chicago to Skid Row and hand out those boxes to these homeless people on prom night.
Okay.
Kevin's waiting for death.
This just sounds like maybe that's not the best plan to go down to the worst part of Chicago.
I'll tell you, I watched the video of this. I wouldn't want to be a cute 17-year-old Asian girl going down there handing out free stuff to this lot.
Yeah,
I'll
that's
tell you
a little
that.
Scary.
But she did have somebody obviously with her who was filming it, so maybe there was some security there. But how about that, by the way, for a senior with, I mean, especially at that age, you are obsessed with your circle of friends and your photo opportunities and prom. Allie, you tell me, prom for a 17-year-old girl is about the biggest thing in that period of her life, right?
I bet it is. Yeah, it was. It absolutely was. And I don't mean to be rude about kids nowadays, but I would think it would be even bigger now because they're trying to overdo each other with the asking to prom, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So this seems even like a bigger deal now than it would.
I was impressed with this. Yeah. That's all. Just because of her age and because, you know, that she didn't just say, well, I don't feel like going to prom. She said, wow, look at me raising all this money for something dumb. This could really help somebody.
Plus, and, I can't get a date.
Well, I did wonder about
that. Horrible.
I know. I fought it, and I felt horrible because there's nowhere in this article does it mention anyone asked her to prom.
Oh,
so maybe this is her taking lemons and turning them into lemonade. I don't know.
Maybe she went to an all-girls school like I did, and you have to ask the guy. So maybe she just didn't yet.
So no one would say yes?
Is
that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, because I'm not
saying
that.
Maybe she hadn't asked yet.
Oh, I gotcha.
So even though Allie is a bad, bad person, I would like to congratulate Ashley Young from Darien, Illinois, for doing some good work there. Way to go, Ashley.
How about that? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
Look, I'm sorry, but you and your friend are ruining this for everyone.
We have a trip to Las Vegas we're going to give away in the 6 o'clock hour. Very excited
we
about
sure
that.
Sure the hell do.
It's always a good time. So that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
And by the way, if somebody's paying for your trip to Las Vegas, that's just all instant money you've saved that you now can spend however you want in Las Vegas.
Right. And if you end up winning in Vegas, probably that somebody that gave you that trip deserves a little taste.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree.
A little kickback.
Yeah. That's right.
So think about that.
Yeah, we're bankrolling you, man.
Right. Tom Brady got suspended.
What?
Was
this in the news?
This was in the news.
Huh.
So we're going to talk about that. We also have Mark Maron in the studio. Very excited about that.
Love him.
Comedian's got his TV show, Maron on IFC. We're going to talk to Mary McNamara about a bunch of new TV shows that are coming and TV shows that have been canceled. And
CSI Kids. What about that?
CSI Kids?
I would watch that. I would
starring
crimes.
Starring Chip.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Starring Chip and Funny Brad.
15 years on the air for the CSI, and it's been canceled now. Oh. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. I just thought those lasted forever.
Yeah, it does seem like it, right? Plus, tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the Pit and backstage passes. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Tuesday morning. Ralph Garman out today. Allie McKay in for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is new? What is happening?
Remember yesterday when Ralph Garman did the story about Miles Teller and his girlfriend saving that woman in the Riptide in Miami?
The Miles Man.
The Miles Man.
It was very exciting. We were all very impressed.
All very impressed. Well, it didn't happen that way.
What?
Really. Nobody's buying that bullshit.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't go the way you hate, though, when people are just on the beach and then they're like, then he saved him.
Yeah.
And it's somebody a million miles down the beach and then a celeb gets...
Just trying to, like, steal the good PR.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like.
It was not that.
What happened?
Well, according to TMZ, there was a shark lurking in the water. Dunna.
Right.
The pregnant woman spotted it, started flailing and saying, oh my gosh, we need to get out, and grabbed Miles to lead him out of the water.
Oh, that's the opposite of what we heard yesterday.
With her toddler attached to her back.
So, wait, really? So she rescued him? Yesterday we heard they were on the beach and they saw someone and they ran in.
And they ran in, saved this pregnant woman that was caught in the riptide. No, not really at all what happened.
Well, then what?
You liar!
Where do you suppose the other version came from, if this really is what happened?
Well, apparently, I think the pictures of them all coming out of the water together, when you see Miles holding on to a pregnant woman,
sure, right.
You would think, hey, he just saved that pregnant lady.
Yeah, because he's young and strong.
You don't realize that she just carried him out of the ocean. Who could have seen that coming?
Oh, like, that's such a big liar.
She's like, hold on, let me just bring my toddler in first, and then I'll come back and get you.
I'll get you, Miles, man. You just hold on.
Unbelievable.
Well, the Miles man's going to wish this story hadn't gotten out at all now.
Nope. Very good stuff. Remember Chris Brown? He was, I think, in Vegas or somewhere and came home to a woman in his bed naked.
Yes.
Well, he is no longer going to prosecute her. He thinks she needs help. And jail won't do the trick. He is, however, going to invest in a new security system because his old one wasn't even on, apparently. I think just maybe turn that one on before you.
Well, that would help. No matter how good your system is if you don't turn it on.
I mean, it seemed like she lived there for a while, right? I mean, for like a couple of months?
Two days.
She moved in for a couple of months.
Her mail
she had parties.
Was being sent there. Right. Yeah, it was a whole situation. No, she was only there 2 days. But however, this is not good news for all of you in Agora Hills that live by Chris Brown. Another way he's going to stop this from happening, having his friends stay there 24/7.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
So if you live by
his friends, his friends are likely to be the type who, hey, we're in Chris Brown's house for the weekend. Let's throw a party.
I would.
Or just catch up on DVR.
Sure.
Just be real quiet. Make sure no one's sneaking in the windows.
I'd turn up the music pretty loud, I think, is what I would do.
Yeah, I think most people
would. They're screwed.
Yeah. Fox announced yesterday some big changes coming to Empire.
Oh, what's going on with Empire? Good changes, bad changes?
Well, I shouldn't even say changes. Really, just people coming on the show. Guest stars, if you will. If you're a fan of Empire, you know Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Gladys Knight, Common, Oprah, all on last season. This season, Alicia Keys.
All right.
Lenny Kravitz. Chris Rock.
Really?
Right? I'm into it.
All right.
Anyone else?
Yeah,
and more
good.
More episodes this season too.
Well, as well there should be.
So you're happy about that?
I am so happy about it. I love that show. I didn't know this was happening. I don't know where I've been, but FX's American Crime Story: The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware this was happening?
Yeah, we've talked about it before. This is the TV movie they're making about the trial of the century.
Okay, so some casting news: David Schwimmer is Robert Kardashian. John Travolta as Robert Shapiro.
Okay.
Selma Blair as Kris Jenner.
Okay.
We know Kris Jenner today, but this was her, what she looked like 20 years ago. That's reasonable, I think.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is, of course, playing OJ. Sarah Paulson is going to be Marcia Clark.
Great casting.
All right.
Yes.
Looks a lot like her.
No Nicole Brown Simpson just yet, so we're going to have to hold off on that. Who do you think?
I think Angela Kinsey.
Oh, interesting.
Or you.
I was just going to say, perhaps I could double.
She's your celebrity doppelganger, right?
She is me and I am her. Minus the paycheck. All right, you guys, some new releases today. Trustfall, the Side A EP by Incubus. Something that I'm sure Bean is happy about. The original motion picture soundtrack, Pitch Perfect 2.
Ah.
You in?
I don't know much about soundtrack yet.
I might be in on that.
Yeah.
I bet it'll be a cappella songs, really done up, super exciting with jazz hands.
Well, I like that that Spotlight, that first single from Jessie J. I like that a lot.
Sure, sure.
As long as there's jazz hands, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, you'd add them yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Sorry. Bush by Snoop Dogg as well. Some DVDs out today. I'm going to
assume... Can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
Bean, did you hear the Snoop Dogg album was produced by Pharrell? Is that true?
I have not heard that.
That was shocking. I saw that last night, I think.
Really?
I was sizing it up like, does this make sense? Because
they worked together before a bunch of times.
I think it would be great.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right, DVD's out today. Kevin, I'm going to assume you've seen all of these.
Okay.
Still Alice.
No.
That was the Julianne Moore Oscar-nominated performance on the Alzheimer's.
Nope. Okay.
No? Okay.
Mordecai. Nope. Okay. That's with Paul Bettany, Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Black Hat.
I did see that one.
Okay. Chris Hemsworth. Oh, The Cobbler with Adam Sandler? What is that?
What's The Cobbler?
That's the one
like
where he plays. Yes, he plays
no,
a guy who
I was
fixes
kidding.
No, he fixes shoes, and then he is able to. He becomes that person. He starts. He looks like that person and can impersonate them in their lives.
So, iZombie with shoes.
It was not in theaters.
Terrible!
Oh my God.
Wow!
Wow!
Yeah,
all right.
It was the fastest. Geez, did it even make theaters? Or is
I don't
this
know.
Straight to DVD? I'm wondering now.
I've never heard of it. You say he would fix a shoe and then become them?
Yes, that's right.
That's if I remember so stupid.
From the trailers that I saw.
At
yeah.
least in iZombie, they're eating the brain of the person.
At
right.
least.
At least they got that going.
Yeah,
trying on
he puts
shoe.
Their shoes on, he becomes that person.
Wow.
That's so
It was
pretty
not
sweet.
Out for long, I'll tell you that.
Oof. All right, Tracers. You seen that? Taylor Luck. None of these. Okay, Just Before
don't,
I Go.
Don't know that one.
Just before I go.
Sean Williams, Scott, Kate Walsh, no?
No.
Whew, that went well.
Yeah.
All right, some celebrity birthdays. Ving Rhames is 56 today. Emilio Estevez, 53. And his duck's doing so well. It's amazing. Stephen Baldwin. Oh, Kevin, don't flip me off.
He doesn't play for them anymore, you know.
I think he was coaching
he
him.
He retired. Really. He had a great career, though. With
Never
that.
Really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Baldwin, 49. Tony Hawk. How great is he?
He's the best.
47
the best.
Years old today. Malin Ackerman, 37. And actress Emily Van Camp is 29. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman with Showbiz Beat.
Just keep listening for your chance to win tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, which is this Saturday.
That's a pretty good deal, and we'll be broadcasting live from Irvine Meadows starting at noon on Saturday. So if you're not able to win tickets, I hope you'll tune in. We'll have all sorts of interviews with people throughout the day and live performances on the radio. Hey, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico.
Hey, guys.
You want to be part of Bean Makes His Guess?
Sure, I've never done it before.
Hit
Bean
Hit
Makes His Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes. Bean loves him. He loves lists. That's what we found out.
I do love lists. Yeah. And I love maps, too. There's something Asperger-y about it, I think. Hey, could I petition the commission to maybe revisit the intro? Why does me being dumb and penis slapping and all of that need to be part of that? Has nothing to do with me making us guess. Okay. There's a website called Ranker.com. Dave actually turned me on to this. I am unfamiliar with it. But they're all about the lists. They are the number one online destination, Kevin, for crowdsourced rankings of everything. Okay?
This is going to be Bean's homepage.
Oh, yeah.
From this point on.
Nothing but lists.
Yep.
Well, April 30th, apparently, just a couple of weeks ago, was National Honesty Day. And Ranker.com published their list, according to the results of their public poll of 27,000 people, to rank the things people lie about all the time. These are, they refer to them as white lies, things that people say. Now, this isn't I lied about a job or I lied about, you know, being pregnant or anything like that. These are white lies. These are things that people say
white
every
people
single
say?
Nope, not white people.
What?
Things that people say every day in the course of just interacting with people that aren't really true, but you say it just to get along and to not cause trouble. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, this one's not on the list, but as an example is, that outfit looks great. It's that sort of thing. That looks really, really good on you. You just say that because you don't want to hurt the person's feeling. You don't want to fight with them. You're just being nice.
Most people don't volunteer that either. They're forced into it.
That's right.
They get asked, hey, how does this look? It looks really good.
And I'm sure you say it just like that, Kevin. Nobody can tell your real intentions. So you guys get the list, right? It's the top 10 white lies that people tell based on Ranker.com and their list. Kevin, as usual, we start with you.
I would like to guess, of course I remember you.
That's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, number 10 on the list is, I remember
How
you.
How about
well
that?
Done.
I just know that's my issue. I go, hey, hi, yeah. You?
Great to see you again, or for the first time, whichever it happens to be. All right, excellent. You are on the board, Dave Sanchez.
I'm going to go with there is no goat in the studio. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say something that my girlfriend always says, and that's, "Oh, I'm right around the corner," or "I just left."
Yep.
Interesting.
That was mine. Always say that. On my way.
On my way. Yep.
I'm going to give Dave Sanchez points because number two on the list.
Oh, dang it.
I'm 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
Number two on the list. I'm 5 minutes away.
I've said I'm 5 minutes away when I'm 5 minutes away. Mm-hmm. I've said that when I'm a half hour away. And I've said that while I'm still at home.
Absolutely. It's so LA, too. Like, or saying, like, "Oh, I'm parking." Yeah. And you haven't left your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All That's right. So two for two. Allie, let's keep the streak going.
This is one that I say, but I change it up. But if you want to say, like, "Oh, what a cute baby," instead you say, "Well, look at you." So if the baby's ugly, you don't feel bad.
I love "Well, look at you," by the way. That
is good
interpretation. Unfortunately, no, I'm sorry. That did not make the list.
Well,
you don't look that age.
Ooh, what a good one that is.
Thank you.
Oops, sorry.
Yes. No, wait, I got the ding first.
Wow.
I had the trigger finger there. I apologize. Mm. Yes. That should be on this list, by the way. But these are 10 pretty good ones, too. I'm sure it just missed it. That's a great one, though.
I didn't do it.
Thanks,
it's a good delivery.
I'm going to say no.
What?
No, I didn't do it.
Isn't that everybody in court saying it?
Yeah, that's called pleading not guilty.
Yeah.
Allie?
Can you just say, like, "I don't know about something"? Like, "No, didn't know that." Just playing dumb. I am not good at this.
Wow, we've only gotten three of them out of 10. We haven't got number one.
We're two.
We're
two. I think all we have is two.
Oh, we only have two.
Yeah.
Let's go around one more time, and then I will reveal.
Things people lie about.
They're going to sound real familiar when you hear them.
Entertainment, seeing movies or hearing music.
Oh, like hipsters,
like Jimmy's Lie Witness News, that kind of thing. Whatever entertainment you lie about having heard it, it's great. Seen it, it's great. Shoot, I felt like that was a miss from the beginning,
Mr. Sanchez.
I'm gonna say I didn't eat it.
I didn't eat it.
All right, lightning round. Hallie McKay?
What about just saying "I love you"? I lie about that all the time. Oh.
By the way, that would have been a guess for me as well. I'm really surprised that's not on this list. I love you's got to be, I mean, that has to be said multiple times a day. People don't mean it. All right, one more time. Round the room. One more time.
You don't look fat.
Oh.
Dave?
Oof. Damn. We were to use "I Remembered You," right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Funny
you forgot that one.
What? I've heard that before.
Nope. Is everyone in this room on painkillers? Is my question.
Allie, the final guest. Then we shall reveal the top 10 things people lie about all the time.
I've got a really great guy for you to meet.
All right. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Number 10 is "Oh, yeah, I remember you." Number 9 is "Yeah, I'm listening."
Oh. Yeah, I'm listening.
Number 8... "I love it."
Well, that's like "I love you."
No.
It's not "I love you."
Yeah.
"I love it" could be food, could be clothing.
Could be anything.
I love you, fudge brownie.
Number 7, "I'm busy that day."
Oh, I do that all the time.
Number 6, "I've been swamped lately." How many times have you heard that? Oh, just completely underground right now, man. I'm just barely alive.
Every email.
So busy.
Number 5, and this again, this is, you talked about "I'm 5 minutes away" being so big in Los Angeles, Allie. How many times have you heard, "Oh, my phone died"?
Oh,
my phone died, of
my
course.
My phone died.
Wow.
Number 4, "I totally forgot to do that thing you asked me to do." Ah, totally forgot. Which, by the way, could also be true. Right?
Right. They're saying that's a lie because you just
because
didn't
you just decided,
it?
You just decided not to, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just didn't do it. Right. Number 3, this is a good one, too. "Let's keep in touch."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who means that? "Let's keep in touch," or its younger sibling. "We should get together sometime." I would say those are all in the category.
Just you and Al Jessup.
Number 2was "I'm 5 minutes away," which we covered. And number 1 on this list, according to Ranker.com, the number 1 lie that people tell all the time is, ladies, "I'm fine." I'm fine. Yes.
I'm fine.
Hey, what's wrong? Oh. Nothing. I'm fine. Right? Come on. Who hasn't been there?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This has been B-Mix of Death. It is one of the most anticipated films of 2015. It's in theaters on May 15th. It is called Mad Max Fury Road, starring the great Tom Hardy and our friend Charlize Theron. We would like, courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road, to send you to Las Vegas, Nevada. How about this? Round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. You will have to earn it. We had some great contestants yesterday. I'm hoping for the same today. We'll give you a chance to win this trip if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll play that coming up here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, how about a citizen of the day?
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I have three opportunities for you guys to vote. They all involve bombs in some way. The first one, sort of bomb adjacent. I'll tell you what I mean. There is a restaurant owner who is having a, quote, White Appreciation Day. White Appreciation Day.
Also known as Every Day.
Apparently, he has been getting all kinds of backlash. He has had a couple of bomb threats.
Yeah.
From people who are saying, hey, not so much with the White Appreciation Day.
You know, that's the way we run things in America these days, is everyone's a mob now. I mean, if you're the pizza parlor in Indiana who doesn't want to serve gays, you have to close your restaurant now because people will threaten to kill you, rape you, or bomb your establishment. You're not allowed to have a difference of opinion anymore.
This guy was trying to make a point in that I think he's Mexican, and he said, you know, we shouldn't say black people. We shouldn't say Mexican. We should just say Americans, to which I say maybe you should have a American Appreciation Day.
It's a good idea.
I think maybe white people don't like that term much because it's been misused a lot.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a sensitive item there.
All right. How about this guy? This guy asked his date to prom, and he did it with a fake bomb vest. Oh, and he's Middle Eastern. Here's the story.
How'd that go over?
Ibrahim Ahmed showed up to school wearing a sign with a poem for his would-be date that said, I know it's a little late, but I'm kind of the bomb. Will you be my date to the prom?
See? Ooh, yeah. It was a little late, but I... How? That's funny.
You don't show
that's
up to
funny.
School.
I'm kind of the bomb.
Okay. Yep. I see what he did.
Right.
You don't show up in public in a bomb jacket.
Okay. A little corny, but kind of cute. Except that under the sign, he was wearing fake bombs strapped to his body. School officials didn't find it funny. They suspended him for 5 days.
They went back to the guy. And they said, "Hey, you've been suspended for 5 days." In retrospect, was that a great idea with the fake bomb vest? And he said, "Yeah." Yeah, I stand by that.
Stand by it, huh?
I'm happy with it.
Any report on whether the girl said yes or not?
She did say yes.
How about that?
She
wow.
did say yes. I mean, apparently.
So it kind of worked.
It sounds like his group of people understood, weren't worried, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. She was fine. She thought it was funny. He was just being funny. But I think people are a little sensitive to the bomb vest.
Yeah, and I think if you're administrators at that school and you don't know what this kid's deal is, I think you kind of have to take it seriously.
Yeah, I think so, too. And finally, the bomb squad investigates a grenade that was donated to Goodwill. Somebody said, here's a box of stuff. Oh, and by the way, there's a live grenade in there.
Dangerous donation had the bomb squad rushing to a Goodwill store. Somebody dropped off a grenade. Cairo 7's Kevin McCarty is live in Port Orchard. And Kevin, you just learned from police that this was no dud.
See, police say that grenade was real and it could have been deadly. It was made during World War II. It's more than 7 decades old. When employees at this Goodwill found it among some donated items, they called for help.
Can you imagine going through a box of stuff and going, all right, old shirt, okay, one sock, a couple of shoes that don't match,
now,
a
I
grenade,
don't,
I'm
don't
sorry,
know much.
A, what?
About grenades. Uh-huh. How would you know if it was a live grenade or just an old...
Well, they didn't, so they called the bomb squad, and then the bomb squad came and said, yeah, it's it could have gone off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's always amazing to me, and I see this story a couple times a year where people find a bomb just out in the wild or in their yard or something like that, and it turns out it's been there since World War II,
yep.
And those things stay live I guess, for decades, right?
Chopper 7 was overhead as a bomb squad moved in to safely take the grenade from the donation area of this Port Orchard Goodwill store. Shoppers who were inside were told to drop whatever they were doing and evacuate.
All right, so there's a good ending to this.
So I'm in the dressing room trying on bathing suits, and all of a sudden an announcement comes over the loudspeaker that all employees and customers need to leave the store immediately.
Put the bikini down and leave the store immediately.
Yeah! Like, it's not hard enough shopping for bathing suits as a lady. Now that.
Take it off and go.
By the way.
Yes?
She's buying a used bikini.
That's a great point.
She's at Goodwill.
So you're saying maybe it's not what I think it is? I thought it would be sexy.
I'm hoping you're right, Kevin.
Sexy, yes.
I want to live in your reality.
Well, it's sort of a good one.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
How long has it been, Kevin, since you've been to Las Vegas?
Just when we went last month.
Oh, you got really itchy then.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, 30 days without Las Vegas, that's like taking you off the oxygen, right?
Yeah, I'm going back soon.
We are giving you a trip for two to Las Vegas, including round-trip airfare, hotel, and check this out, $500 spending cash brought to you by one of the most anticipated films of 2015, Mad Max Fury Road. It looks fantastic. It is in theaters everywhere next week, May 15th. So go see it, madmaxmovie.com. We're going to give them away with a game that we like to call, can we have some echo, please? To the Max!
Now, see when you...
What'd I do? Didn't How did I screw
well,
up?
Well, I had echo when you said, can I have some echo, please? And then,
right.
And then I took it off for To the Max. So let's try it again.
Can I have some echo?
Oh. Okay.
To the Max! I like it. All right. Do we have contestants?
We do.
Here's the way the game is going to be played to the max. Everything that I'm going to be asking, I'll be asking you a series of questions, some with audio clues. They all involve famous Maxes, things that have Max in the name, okay? Famous Maxes is what we're looking for. Who's our first contestant, please?
We go to Downey and say hi to Steve. Hey there, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Steve. Steve, I feel like you've played on the air before.
Numerous times.
I feel like Steve gets through every game.
Yeah, do you ever win?
I do, sir.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. This Max became famous from an American comedy television series that satires a secret agent played by Don Adams. Listen up.
You've walked into a very cleverly laid trap, Chief. Now watch carefully. I'm about to execute a fantastic maneuver. After this move, the game will be over.
Checkmate.
Just as I predicted, the game is over.
Who is that famous Max?
Is that Don Adams?
Yes.
Don Adams is the actor, as explained in the question. Yes. And who is he playing?
He played a character named...
Oh, shoot.
I'm more impressed that he got Don Adams. If you didn't
After
hear
I
the
already
question.
Said it.
Well, I didn't know if you heard it.
Yeah.
He played...
Maxwell Smart.
Maxwell Smart is correct.
Wow.
He
was
got
that
it.
On the buzzer? After, all right, you want to give it to him?
I think so.
He clearly Googled it, but you're going to give it to him anyway?
I think so. I think so.
No Google
All right,
involved.
Steve.
No Google involved, Bean.
All right, Steve. I'll take you at your word, sir. You are in the drawing, sir. Thank you. Please hold on.
All right. Let's go to Peter in Inglewood. Hi.
Good morning.
Famous Maxes is what's on the table here this morning, Peter.
Yes, sir.
An international men's magazine devised and launched in the United Kingdom, now based in New York, is prominent for its photography of actresses, singers, and female models. What's that magazine called, please?
Oh, man. I have no idea.
It has Max in it.
Hot chicks on it.
Oh, Maxim magazine.
What's happening?
Yes! Wow! We had right. to drag you through that, but congratulations, you are in the drawing. Well done, sir.
You owe us as well. Let's go to Ryan in Fullerton. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ryan. Sometimes referred to as TJ's, this is an American department store chain with 1,000 stores located across the United States.
TJ's. A famous
Sometimes known
store?
As TJ's. It is a department store, yes.
It's known as TJ's, and it includes the name Max.
My God.
I'm stumped.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's well, the answer is TJ Maxx.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Ryan.
Did we not give you enough clues, Ryan?
No, there was plenty. I just choked.
You hang up on yourself right now.
I love it. Yeah, we're not even going to hang up with you. You don't deserve to be on the air. That's awesome.
Even if you don't know the store, you try.
You guess, yeah.
Ida in Los Angeles, hi.
good morning.
Hi, Ida. That's an awesome name, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's my grandma's name.
Yeah, I knew it was.
I was going to say, it's a 1920s name.
In the 2000 motion picture Gladiator, Russell Crowe portrays this fictional character, a Roman general known for his loyalty. We have an audio clue for you, Ida. Listen up.
Commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Russell Crowe is playing a general named what?
Maximilian?
I mean this.
Oh, she's really got her grandma's name.
How does that help?
Maximus, you guys.
Oh,
shall we?
I mean, look. The guy didn't even get TJ Maxx. Come on.
Right? And so hi, Maximilian is actually the total name of Maximus.
You think so? All right, we're being loosey-goosey today. We're letting everybody in.
She's so making that up, but I'm fine with it.
Let's let Ida into right. What the hell. It's only a drawing. We have time for a couple more, I think.
Let's go to Carrie in Thousand Oaks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie. How have you been doing listening on hold, and what did you think about the guy who couldn't get TJ Maxx when we gave him the TJ and the Maxx?
And Maximum before that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how you do. This famous Maxx is a fictional British character made up of artificial intelligence, known for his wit and stuttering, distorted, electronically sampled voice. We have an audio clue for you.
This is Max.
Why isn't that still on the air? Who is that fictional British character, please?
Oh, that is...
He gave you the first name.
Famous for TV shows and movies and commercials for many, many years.
Max, he said 100 times.
Max.
And then his
Max.
And then his last name is...
Million.
Good effort.
I like the effort.
Carrie, have you heard of Max
Headroom?
Max Headroom? Have you heard of Max Headroom?
Yeah, he hasn't been on in a while. How long has it been?
Been a while.
20 years?
Okay. All right. Thank you for playing. We appreciate it. We have time for one more contestant. Who's it going to be, please?
It is going to be John in North Hills. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
John, good luck. You're playing for a trip for two to Las Vegas, Nevada, courtesy of our friends at Mad Max Fury Road. Here's your question. This famous Max is an actor best known for playing the character Schmidt on New Girl. In fact, he was just a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show last week. We have an audio clue.
When Nick leaves, I'm going to call a plumber and just throw cash at him while he works. Fitties and hunnets, hunnets, hunnets.
Who is that famous Max, please?
Max Greenfield?
Yes! It is Max Greenfield. Congratulations.
This is the shakiest group of competitors ever.
It really is. It really is. But John is in the drawing, as is my new girlfriend, Ida, also Peter and Steve. Only ones going to Las Vegas, courtesy of Mad Max Fury Road, which, by the way, is in theaters on May 15th. It looks fantastic. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
All right. I swear to God, it's Ida.
Ida.
I did not rig this. It's Ida.
You were kind of rooting for Ida anyway, though.
A little bit.
Way to go, Ida.
Your cheat, Tom Brady.
Thank you
for playing To The Max. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Comedian and actor Mark Maron in studio with us later this morning here on K-Rock. Plus, your tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Backstage passes and tickets in the pit. That is coming up as well. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
You need to be Ralph Garman right now.
Should I just be mad?
Yeah. Oh, your hair looks amazing, though.
He does have great hair. Let's be honest. It's kind of magical. Going to need some Bugatti there, Chip.
Oh, no.
No, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Woo!
She was ready, though.
Woo!
Woo! All right. Yesterday, when we found out that American Idol was going to do its 15th and final season in January, we were all super sad.
Were we?
Was that our reaction?
No.
I don't remember that being our reaction.
We were like, I thought that dog died years ago, and now you're telling me you're putting him down?
All right, maybe that was the reaction.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people at home wondering, hey, what about bringing back the original three guests, or guest judges? Simon Cowell, Paul Abdul, Randy Jackson. Is it even a possibility?
That'd be pretty awesome.
It would be pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
Well, a Fox executive has said, we'd welcome any of them back.
It doesn't sound like they're actively trying. No. I mean, if they showed up and Paula Abdul wouldn't leave,
we'd let them in.
Maybe.
Exactly. Well, I found this pretty funny. You remember Brian Dunkelman. He's the original host with Ryan Seacrest, season one, and then he quit because he thought this show will never be anything.
Right.
He wound up tweeting yesterday, "I knew American Idol would never last without me. Hashtag canceled."
That's actually funny.
I thought that was pretty good.
14 short years later, now it's off the air. Oh. So he was proven right.
I would watch if Paula came back and said,
"The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness."
Come on. Come on.
That is
She was. She was magic.
And she's probably more crazy now than she was then.
You can hope.
So. Good times.
Well, let's hope for that. Hey, maybe you're a band that plays weddings, graduations, that kind of thing. It can be pretty tedious, right? You've got moms calling you all the time. Hey, I'm going to need this from you. I'm going to need that. You haven't even played the gig yet, right? Well, there is a band called Phase 5, and they kept getting calls from this mom. It was going to be her son's graduation party. Annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dropped this one. Hey, so my husband is Paul McCartney. And he might want to, like, sit in with you, if that's cool.
What?
What?
What? Yes, this was a graduation party over the weekend for her son, Arlen Blakeman. And the band wound up doing a bunch of Beatles songs, including I Saw Her Standing There, which they had to learn on the fly.
So Paul was singing with them?
Yes, he joined the band. How great is that?
That's pretty cool.
That has to be a nightmarish gig.
Right.
And then Paul McCartney. Does that balance out all of the nightmarish gigs?
I think so. It does.
Can you imagine?
You get a chance to jam? Yeah.
Their next bat mitzvah. They're just like looking around. They're like, oh, this sucks.
This is bad. Remember when Paul came out and we sang those Beatles songs?
Remember the Paul McCartney times, you guys? And the band just high fives. It's a good time. Well, HBO's Game of Thrones has set another record, but it's not one they want.
Oh.
It's for illegal downloads. Variety reports that the latest episode was downloaded more than 2.2 million times worldwide from the file sharing sites in less than 12 hours after its show on Sunday night.
Wow. Now, this happens a lot in China and places that we don't have any control over, right? Where they just basically rip everything off.
Yeah, but the number one country?
Yes, that's what I was going to ask.
USA.
US.
USA.
USA.
Yes.
USA.
Yeah.
We're number one.
We're number one. We are number one in
the job, world.
Yes. And speaking of world, followed by number two, Australia, three, Brazil, fourth, India, and five, the UK, rounding out the top five. So way to go, America.
So you're saying China not in the top five?
Not even in the top five.
Okay, great.
Yeah. But good job. Good job. Remember those commercials for State Farm with Hans and Franz, Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon?
Yes.
Good times, right?
Mm-hmm. We're here to pump you up.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want some more of those?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I think I'm good as well.
What if we go back to the SNL vault and not Hans and Franz, but some more beloved characters? Huh?
That depends.
Like?
Like the Coneheads!
Nope.
Oh.
No!
Didn't think so. But Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, and Lorraine Newman will be bringing the Coneheads back to do the next State Farm commercials.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. I don't feel like we need that.
Probably not.
Okay.
CBS, the Grammys. Huge ratings, right?
Yes.
Every single year. Well, this year, they're going to move it to Monday.
Oh, it's been Sunday night forever.
Forever.
And interesting.
The reasoning they're saying is because it's going to be Monday, February 15th. Because Sunday...
is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, nobody would watch because they'd be like, hey, I'm making love. I don't know why they would move it, but that seems to be the reason.
I wonder if they're moving it to get away from a strong Sunday night lineup. I mean, Sunday's got a lot of good shows.
But it still does gangbusters.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the Grammys, for heaven's sake. Am I right, Bean?
It is definitely the Grammys, Ellie, yes.
It is definitely the Grammys. And I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yes.
And say... LL Cool J will be the host.
Forever?
Forever.
Remember when Bean asked him about licking his lips? Remember that?
Yeah.
And he acted like no one had ever asked him that before, by the way. Everybody must notice that.
I don't know if everyone did.
Dude needs some chapstick.
I don't mind him licking his lips. I wish he would do it more.
Same.
So
in your direction.
Right? some DVDs out today. Still Alice, Mordecai, Black Hat, The Cobbler, which apparently really was a movie about shoes and Adam Sandler putting them on and taking that person's, what would you even say?
As a personality?
He looks like that person to other people.
Oh, he looks like the, oh, dear
yes.
God.
So he can though then go out into the world and be that person. Was my understanding from the commercial? I never saw it.
I might need to buy that.
Yeah,
that sounds bad enough.
Yeah, and remember when we had Courtney Cox on talking about her movie Just Before I Go?
Yep,
that's out now on DVD. It seems like we just had her on a couple weeks ago.
We did.
Oh, well, that's interesting. No.
Although, well, you know, some things come out at the same time as they go in theaters as
right.
well. So
yeah, and it was in limited release in it smaller theater. So. You can see that now, starring Sean William Scott, Kate Walsh. Some birthdays for you guys. Ving Rhames, he is 56 years old. Malin Ackerman, 37. Jason Biggs, also 37. Emilio Estevez, we were talking about his ducks earlier. He is 53 today. 53. Yeah. He looks 20. Doesn't he look great?
He sort of does, yeah.
He has his own winery.
Mm. That's a good story.
Thanks. I'll have more. Tony Hawk, 47 years old. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman with the show is being.
Saying, look at it. There's nothing. You don't see some body parts.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ. Look, there are some links, Kevin, that you know everything you need to know about the subject line. You don't need to click on it for further information.
You don't know how funny it is, though, Bean.
This one that you tweeted out is man effing car exhaust.
Right. Okay, that sounds great.
Isn't that enough to go, well, not for me, let's move on?
Sounds great, but it's actually much funnier when you watch it.
How is it funny?
Well, watch it.
I don't want to watch it.
I know, but I'm saying.
Tell me why it's funny to watch a man have sex with a car.
Why is it funny? How do I answer that question?
Tell me what you enjoyed about it.
The guy effing the car. Did you watch it, Allie?
I did.
How awesome was that?
Only because you tweeted it and wrote not safe for work.
Right.
And I thought, I need to click. And
do you click on anything that's not safe for work, Allie? Is that how you roll?
It's kind of my MO.
Now, having said that it's not safe for work, you don't see any body parts. You just see a guy from behind and you see a Volkswagen, a very happy Volkswagen.
But he's gyrating.
He's got some moves.
No. Oh.
He's got some
Ben.
Moves.
No.
He's got some moves.
Where can the kids see this?
I just tweeted it out.
Is it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page too? Do we put it up there?
I guess we can, yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah. I have a question because I won't watch the video, and that is
Wait. First, why won't you watch the video? I know you hate anything having to do with animals or whatever. This is an inanimate object, and you can't see body parts.
It has no appeal for me.
It'll make you laugh.
This is just the worst kind of internet clickbait. This is just a stupid thing that people put up on the internet for whom I don't know. But
to
not
me, this
me.
Is why the internet exists.
Here's my question, and it involves the positioning of the man in the car.
Yes.
Isn't an exhaust pipe, isn't that down, like, way down to the ground?
Yeah.
Isn't it 10 inches off the ground or something? Like, how is he making that work?
you should really watch it.
I mean, you can watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking about my car, and I don't know, I don't think I physically would be able to get into that position. We're talking about the tailpipe, right?
Yes, we are talking about the tailpipe.
I don't think I'd be able to manage the tailpipe.
Well, you're a little taller than this guy, but he seems to be quite at ease. I'm sure this isn't the first time.
This is his first rodeo with the tailpipe.
Is this security cam video, surveillance video, or anything?
No,
like
it looks like a buddy's filming it. Somebody just tweeted me, who's more of the sicko, the guy having sex with the car or the guy filming
it? Great point.
My question for you is there any reason to do this other than to videotape it and put it up and for your friends to laugh? It's a joke, right? I mean,
that dude is not all there. He looks a little methy.
So you don't think he's a psycho Mike who would do that in a second to make people laugh?
No,
that's not what.
Do you think
no.
he's actually having sex with the car, Allie?
Yes,
but
so he's not just doing it to make people laugh. Then he's actually getting off on it.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that's possible. It's not.
Have you watched the video, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah.
150 times.
Right? I have watched it.
He actually glances back when he kind of realizes he's being videotaped, does not stop.
Right. But so that means maybe it's, hey, man, are you getting this? He doesn't say those words, but do you think he's kind of nodding to his friend like, are you getting this so we can put it up? No. Why else would he do it? It can't be pleasurable.
It can't be pleasurable.
It cannot
right?
be pleasurable. I mean, know that because I've watched it. Dean?
I don't know what you're asking me right now.
I'm asking you to watch it and then weigh in on that.
I would think that there would be, in this man's life, and I don't know him or his circumstances, there must be 100 things that would feel better to have sex with than a car's tailpipe.
But I'm guessing in this guy's life, he's also had sex with all of those.
You think he's just checking them off a list?
I feel like this isn't the first inanimate object. He's not all there?
He is not all there.
What makes you say that? Just the wild look on his face?
Yeah, the wild look. He just looks really
the wild
thin,
women, the wild rippin'?
Yes.
The rippin' and the tearin'?
Rippin' and the tearin'. Mostly the rippin' and the tearin'.
I feel like also, again, I know we're having a not safe for work conversation here, but not only would it not feel good, it seems like it would be dangerous and damaging to somebody's body to rub it up against metal.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I don't think it could possibly be for satisfaction.
Here are the tags on this video that Kevin tweeted out of the man having sex with a car.
Well, watch it. Don't be a baby. You don't see anything, Bean.
Man, sex, car, Brazil, penis, sex, exhaust, lecherous. Those are the tags on it.
See? Doesn't that make you want to click on it?
I don't believe I need to see it.
But there, you don't see anything.
Right, except for a man having sex with his car.
But you don't see any body
parts.
But
I don't need to even see a guy. I don't even need to see I don't even need to see what you've described already, though.
Which is
this guy from behind humping a Volkswagen.
How could you not click on that? That's the best thing on the internet in a week.
Allie, you wouldn't have clicked on it if it hadn't come from Kevin, right?
Most likely not.
Did you find it funny?
No.
What?
Because
what's
it's
wrong
so
with
creepy people?
Of course it's creepy. The guy's all weirded out, but...
Yeah, I guess I don't find methy dudes bone in a car funny, Kevin.
I guess I don't either. I think I'm with the girl.
I don't even know you people. Just watch it. Don't be such a baby.
I'm not going to watch it.
Just watch it.
Mark Maron joins
us 20 seconds.
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. very excited. Looking forward to that. Listen to this. Some of our guests coming up in the next few days here on the program. You guys ready for this? From UFC 187, our friend Daniel Cormier is going to be back. Tom Six in studio. Ali, do you recognize his name?
Mm-mm.
He is the director and creator of The Human Centipede.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's stopping by. Comedian Jim Gaffigan on the program. Listen to this for tomorrow, Kevin. Chips Ducks, as you know, advanced into the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be talking to Ryan Getzlaff on the program tomorrow about their series coming up against the Blackhawks. Also, Deacon from Nashville on the program tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Actor Charles Esten, who's so, so great on that show. And check this out, all-time low fans, your boy Alex Gaskarth, lead singer and guitarist for the band, is going to be joining us as well. So all of that coming up in the next few days here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin Deacon!
Yeah,
Nashville!
I don't watch that show.
You got until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to catch up on all three seasons, Kevin.
I will say this, though. It's rare that Bean watches a show and Allie watches a show and Ralph watches a show and they all rave about it.
Love it.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hitting everybody.
Most of the time, we all have what we like and everybody else hates it, but this seems to be not the case. I'm just a hater. All right, let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about Tom Brady.
Tom Terrific.
Let's talk about the Patriots. So the ruling finally came down for Deflategate.
Mm-hmm. 4 months later, yes. Allie, are you wearing your Jimmy Garoppolo jersey today?
Garoppolo.
All right, that's easier than the way I said it. He's your new quarterback. Congratulations.
I'm fine with that.
The league suspended.
Jimmy, is Jimmy good?
He's very good. He'll be great.
Okay.
The league suspended the Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady, for the first four games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They also fined the Patriots $1 million and took away two draft picks as punishment for deflating footballs in the AFC title game.
Are we, we're playing the clip, we're not playing the clip.
We are playing the clip, yes.
The NFL has announced its punishment for the Super Bowl winning New England Patriots, as well as their star quarterback Tom Brady in regards to the Deflategate. Let's go ahead and bring in ESPN insider John Clayton.
Well, it looks like it's very severe, and they're taking two tacks. I mean, one, of course, is the integrity of the game, and that's the footballs. And, you know, as they came out and at least say, they use the words, of course, more probable than not, but in NFL terms, that's guilty as charged. And so with Tom Brady, he's going to be out four games. For not cooperating, which, of course, is a very interesting part.
I didn't see this part coming. Did you guys? Not cooperating? Because I thought they sort of cleared the team and sort of cleared the coach.
Tom Brady famously would not turn over his phone so they could get more text messages about this topic. And a lot of people were suggesting yesterday, Ali, you may have covered, watched this more than I did in depth. A lot of people suggested that they were pissed about the balls, but furious about his lack of cooperation with the investigation. And that's why this penalty is so harsh.
Yep.
Really? So if he turned over his phone, they would have been, well, maybe it was too incriminating.
Thing. Would you turn over your personal phone?
Never to anyone for any reason. No.
Ever? No. The answer is no.
There's a lot of stuff on there that I don't want people to
right,
find.
Right, guys?
Yeah. I agree, by the way, with what you guys are saying and with Tom Brady's decision not to. I understand why he did it. I understand why he wouldn't want that information made public. But that there are consequences to not cooperating with an investigation. I mean, we see that in lots of cases that don't involve stars and athletes.
Does this seem fair?
No.
Well, that's the topic on the table, and we do want to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. And yesterday, depending on what you were watching or listening to or reading, you could have found any possible opinion you were looking for. You could have found completely overblown, he doesn't deserve and the team doesn't deserve any penalty, to Tom Brady should be fired. You could have found anything in between those two. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on what your perspective is. Why don't we start with you, Ali, since you're a huge, huge Patriots fan. What did you think the appropriate punishment should have been?
I thought it was going to be two games.
Two games, okay.
Possibly three.
Uh-huh. So four seems way out of line?
Four seems way out of line, and I know I shouldn't compare it to other penalties, but if you knock out your loved one on video and then drag her like a dead corpse out of an elevator, you got two games. Mm-hmm. That doesn't add up to me. But here's the thing.
The question you have to ask, Ali, and that maybe this is what you meant by the way you started that sentence, is just because the NFL blew that suspension, does it mean they blew this one? Maybe this one is right on. That one was way out of line.
Yeah, I am not an apologist that thinks they were, you know, oh, set up. It was a sting. It was this.
Right.
It was that. I am not that person.
You believe they did it?
I believe Tom knew that there was some shenanigans happening. Do you then give them, you know, what is it, the first round draft pick in 2017? And then, yeah, that's insane to me. That's a bit much. I think after the appeal, it's going to be three games, possibly two.
Okay.
But, Tom, I'm not happy with you. I think you need
You're
to
upset
know
at
this.
Tom?
I am not happy with him because I feel like he lied to me. He looked me in the eye during that press conference.
First of all, he never looked you in the eye.
He didn't?
No, he was looking at a camera.
Oh.
But not you specifically.
Oh, then I'm
well,
not
Well, he
mad
kind
anymore.
Of was, though. I okay. mean, he kind of was addressing Patriots fans. I think that's – I mean, he basically did – he basically said he didn't know anything about it. And now the preponderance of the evidence, as they say, suggests that he did, right? And that's what you're disappointed in.
Listen, their history is not wonderful.
Do they get the same – do they get anywhere near this fine if they weren't caught cheating before?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
this
not.
This is the second time they were caught cheating. So
and,
that,
by the way, our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network pointed out yesterday, and this was not even in the Wells report, is that the Patriots had been warned back in 2004 about letting practice balls into a game that were not vetted by the NFL. So this isn't even the first time that they've tried some shaky substitutions with balls.
Here's an idea, NFL. You be in charge of the balls.
Well,
don't let the teams be in charge of their own freaking balls.
Well, here's what I would say to that. Teams have been able to do that just fine.
Well, not anymore. Okay. No.
We're going to go to your calls here in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. In case you are curious, by the way, if you are a betting person, Tom Brady, let's assume for a second that the four games stands. And yes, you're right, Allie, he will appeal. He will miss the opening game against Pittsburgh, then week two at Buffalo, then a home game against Jacksonville, and then I think they have a bye week, what, in week four?
Yeah.
Next year. Then he misses the game against Dallas. And tell me this isn't the greatest NFL setup of all time. The game that he returns to play in the NFL for the 2015 season is against the Indianapolis Colts. That's the team he was playing in Deflategate. How's that for a setup for Brady's return?
And by the way, here's something else that maybe people aren't thinking about. If I'm an older quarterback, I would welcome that. I don't get dinged up. I don't get hurt the first four games of the season. They also don't really matter.
And let's think back to the first four of last season for the Patriots. Not great.
Not great.
As Chip's celebrating over there, game one against her Miami Dolphins. We didn't do so hot the first four games. I'm good. Tom, take a breather.
Kevin, are you fine with being Tom Brady and saying, I'll take the four games and enjoy myself if you know that you make $500,000 a game? So $2 million in personal salary.
I wasn't thinking about that, but I'm guessing he's okay.
If only he was married to the richest supermodel in the world.
I'm guessing he's all right
money-wise.
The Patriots' odds for winning another Super Bowl, by the way, as a result of the ruling yesterday, dropped from 7-1 to 10-1, in case you're wondering.
I wasn't.
So if you have confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe go to Las Vegas and start laying down some money. All right, let's take a couple calls before the break. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with John in Lake Forest? He's on line four to get us going. The question on the table is, you get to be the NFL commissioner. What's the fine you dole out to Tom Brady and the Patriots, if anything? Welcome, sir. What's going on, John?
Hey, thanks, guys. I've been a listener for you guys for many years.
Thank you.
Right now, I'd say eight games. And the reason why is there's actual charts and facts of him improving since 2007 when this rule changed. His the team of the Patriots are way better than every single team in the NFL. And that has not due to coaching. They only had three new coaches that came on their staff.
When you say way better, you're talking about in things that have to do with possibly deflated footballs, the fact that they fumble so far less that it would be statistically aberrant for them to be able to fumble so much less than all the other teams.
Exactly. They had three people come on, and one of them is a team chaplain. The other one, I think, went to Indiana University
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and also, Tom Brady was one of the worst at holding on to the football. Since the change, he is now the sixth best, I believe, ever in the NFL.
John, can I ask you something?
Sure, of course.
Are you a Raiders fan?
No. I am so far from – I hate the Raiders.
Okay. This sounded very Tuck Rule-ish, like you're still upset. But thank you for answering truthfully.
What? That's part of the problem is – You know, I have sort of a dislike for the Patriots just because their coach and they're so successful. It's hard to separate that from this penalty.
But you know what I mean? John believes that they've been cheating this whole time and they've only been good because of deflated footballs.
Noticeably better, yes. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, by the way, and I think this has to be factored into the ruling. He's so dreamy.
Right?
Right?
It's science.
It is science. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Got some great calls on the line. Please hold on. We'll get right to you after this on K-Rock. Mark Maron next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about the penalty handed down in Deflategate. This is the second time in, 9 years, Allie, that the Patriots have been stripped of a number one draft pick because of cheating? Mm-hmm. That can't feel good. However, Tom Brady taking you to six Super Bowls feels pretty good. Ruben writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, hey, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'd say it was worth it. I was thinking about if people would accept that trade. You get to win the Super Bowl this year, but you're without your quarterback for four games next year. I think most people would probably take that.
If it's the first four games, absolutely.
Sure. All right, let's take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're asking what you think about the penalty, the four-game suspension. The team was also fined $1 million. They gave up some draft picks. Jerry is going to get us started. He's in Whittier, and he is on line number eight.
Hey, Jerry.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Great. Thanks for holding on, man. What do you think? When you heard the news yesterday, what was your reaction?
Well, I was a little bummed out, first of all, but the reason why is just because I read through the Wells report. I'm a big Patriots fan.
Love Tom Brady. He's my man crush. So, I got to stand up for him. And on about page 40 of the Wells report, it talks about the interview with Chris Kremke, I believe, is the equipment manager. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady handed him a copy of Rule 2 of the NFL, which indicates that the balls in the game have to be between 12.5 and 13.5 PSI. And Brady told him, inflate them to 12.6 PSI because I like the way that it feels, and hand a copy of the rule to the officials every single game. And that was in 2013. So going forward, every single game, Brady is handing a copy of the rules to the officials, saying, this is the rules, this is what our balls are at. And he made sure that it was at 12.6 because of he liked how comfortable it was.
Okay, but help me understand. The balls that were tested after the Indianapolis game were outside of that legal range, though, right?
Yeah, understandable. And I think a lot of it may have to do with the weather factor. And, it could be that the balls were tampered with. I wasn't there. But I think the thing that was overlooked was that Brady knew the rules. Brady gave it to the equipment manager. The equipment manager handed it to the NFL. After the balls are given to the NFL ref, it's really up to them to make sure that they're not tampered with. And if the balls were checked by the
ref. Basically, what you're saying is that you don't believe Tom Brady had any knowledge of the balls being underinflated.
Yeah, because of the rules. And, anybody who's extremely competitive like Brady is going to have an edge on the game. And especially Belichick, they got upset about the ineligible receivers during the playoffs when they had the linemen lining up as receivers and then
right.
tight end. And so
that was just good coaching, though.
Absolutely.
That was just good coaching. Allie, all right, we're gonna have to leave it there, Jerry, but thank you very much for the call. Allie, let me ask you, as another Patriots fan, do you believe Tom Brady didn't know the balls were underinflated?
I think he could probably tell that they were a little underdeflated. Do I believe that they started out at 11 PSI at the beginning of the game? No. I think they started out as close to legal as possible
and then
over time dipped a little bit. But here's the thing. Hey, refs, test them. That's what you're supposed to do, and they didn't. They dropped the ball in so many ways. That is not excusing the Patriots at all.
Sounds like
You know what's interesting is that it would not have been discovered at all, if I recall correctly, if there hadn't been an Indianapolis interception. It was one of their players that said, hey, wait a minute, this thing's practically flat.
And then they tested Indianapolis balls as well, and those were underdeflated.
I don't know.
So that's weird. And then they went on to score how many points? Over 20 once the balls were figured out to be okay again.
So you're saying it's all good.
Yeah, everything's fine.
All right. Look, I think they would have won that game against Indianapolis no matter what. I mean, it was a blowout.
Yeah.
It certainly, whatever edge they got from the ball certainly didn't catapult over that. But you do wonder, if you look back over the past several years, some of those super close games where they win by two, you do wonder if it did make a difference in help here and there. All right, we only have time for a couple more. Let's go to, who do you like here, Kevin?
Let's go to Julian.
All right, Julian it is.
Hey, Julian.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. What do you think? Deflategate, punishment?
I think the punishment is appropriate for given the circumstances that, Tom Brady probably knew. If he didn't know, then why didn't he turn his contacts over, regardless of if he had anything else to hide? Also, I think that it hurts the integrity of the game as a whole. If they don't make an example out of Tom Brady, then, kids are looking up to this guy thinking, okay, well, if Tom Brady can do it, why can't I do it? And I'm talking about high school and college. Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, there's no question that this punishment is not just for the Patriots. This punishment is fair warning from the NFL to everybody that plays the game that you better be playing by every single rule or it's going to hurt you. I mean, I think they're using the Patriots as an example a little bit. Is that fair? I don't know. You think it is?
I absolutely think it's fair.
All right, let's go to somebody who thinks it should have been worse. Let's go to Abby in Costa Mesa. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
First of all, are you a Seattle Seahawks fan?
I am not.
Okay, then tell us what you're going to tell us.
I think that anything short of them having their championship revoked is not punishment enough.
So you think that the Patriots should not be Super Bowl winners anymore?
I mean, they had a great, great standing record of winning championships. And the fact that has been questioned time and time again due to their integrity, just it really makes me sad. Honestly, it shouldn't really fall into the refs. It should really fall into the integrity of the team. And well, this is not the first time.
But what if you have a team that has no integrity?
let me compare it to this, Abby, and you tell me if you think this is reasonable. Barry Bonds is baseball's all-time home run king, with an asterisk because he used steroids for so much of that time. But he still is the home run king. They don't strip that from him. They just say, yeah, but he kind of cheated to get there. So he gets to keep it. Maybe it's the same with the Patriots. You go, yeah, they won all these Super Bowls. Maybe they cheated, but they did win those games, and they are in the record books as being the champs. I don't think you can take it away.
I understand that the whole system would not function if they actually took away the championship.
Okay, but that's what you think should happen?
All that I'm saying is that, you know, everybody's saying that, you know, it's too harsh or it's just, and I don't feel that way.
I don't feel it's too harsh. Remember, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Remember, guys, a couple of years ago when the Joe Paterno scandal broke out of Penn State, remember that they vacated all of those wins?
Yeah, true.
Remember they just tried to erase them from the record books, and then a year went by and they said, okay, that was dumb. We can't do that. Let's put them back. So, all right. Well, we haven't heard the end of this. As we mentioned, there is going to be an appeal. Allie, you think that they'll probably improve their standings a little bit once the appeal happens, right? They'll probably drop the four games down, probably?
I would think.
In my opinion, the NFL is just going, hey, look, we're being tough. And then after the appeal, they go, all right, so two games.
Maybe so.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
There's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I am too, Tom. Hey, Mark Maron is here. He joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, here's Ellie McKay.
You guys, I apparently said underdeflated
okay.
instead of underinflated.
Okay.
And it's ruining people's days. And I want to apologize to those people out there who have nothing better to do than freak out about that.
I feel like we should strip you from some sort of championship as a result of that error.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Also sorry about Miles Teller, the Miles man.
Yeah.
This is a sad development. Yesterday we were so impressed that he launched into the ocean in Miami to save a pregnant woman who was being swept out by the riptide. We thought, wow, look at Miles Man.
The Miles Man is a hero.
That's not what happened.
That's such a big liar.
Yeah. Apparently the pregnant woman, according to TMZ, was giving Miles a heads up that a shark was lurking in the water. She started freaking out. And she had a toddler on her back, and she is one of the people that grabbed Miles and said, hey, let's get out of the water. What?
That's so different.
How did that start? I mean, so different.
That is exactly the opposite of what was said yesterday.
But I feel okay still thinking he's a hero, right? Funny that you say that, Allie, because that was not the case.
That's true.
Thank you, Lisa Arch, host of Labor Games, for mentioning that. Good times. But, yeah, so apparently none of that really happened, but a shark was involved.
Okay.
And sharks are happening all over the place.
If we're going to make up stories, why couldn't it have been a Sharknado?
It's a great point. Chip was tweeted a shark pic yesterday from, what, Huntington Beach?
Yeah, Noodles by his house, there was a baby great white shark that was on the beach.
Do you think that's true now?
Totes true.
Okay.
You think the Miles man was involved?
I think Miles might have taken the picture. No? All right. Yesterday we discussed Lindsay Lohan and how she's not following up on any of her community service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know who is? Justin Bieber. It appears he's turned a corner, you guys.
He's really doing his community service?
I really feel like maybe things are taking a turn for him for the best.
Well, he did. He made it seem at the Comedy Central roast like he was apologizing for his mistakes and promising to be a better man. But then I feel like it was a week after that that we heard about him getting in trouble and almost getting into a fight at Coachella trying to get on stage.
Yeah, he got choked out, didn't he?
Yeah, he got choked out by security. So I don't know how much of a turning over new leaf he's doing. What do you got?
Well, he was supposed to be in court on Monday. His lawyers went. This is for the egg-throwing incident.
Sure.
They were there to say he has completed one of the major terms of his plea deal. That would be 12 anger management classes. That is finished. So he's done with that. Okay. Now all he has to do is his 5 days of community labor, which he has already begun the process. And he's working at an emergency shelter. And he's doing a great job showing up, doing it. Not until the last minute. Like, Lindsay, you have like 120 hours to do. Oh, I'll do it today. I'm going to get right on that. Yeah, he's actually doing it ahead of time.
Is that possible?
I believe it is because he's doing it.
All right.
But he shouldn't be allowed to release any more music either, though. That should be part of the deal, right?
That's the third part of the plea deal that... that isn't really known, but yeah, good times. And Chris Brown, we heard about him coming home from a long trip and a naked woman in his bed. Unfortunately, he did not know her, and she broke into his home and was there for two whole days just waiting for him.
Kevin, don't you hate it when you come home after being out of town for the weekend and there's a naked 21-year-old girl in your bed waiting for you?
It's the worst.
It's the worst. So inconsiderate to show up like that.
Well,
2 days.
2 days.
What kind of system does he have?
Yeah, he apparently has a system. It just wasn't turned on.
Oh, his security system
was
off?
Yeah, his security system was not turned on, but he is going to get a new top-of-the-line security system installed.
Okay.
I would say maybe just test out the old one by turning it on. But no, he's going for a new top-of-the-line security system, and he will make sure someone is inside his house 24/7. So he's going to have a friend there at all times. So,
full-time house sitter.
Sorry, Agora Hills. You are going to have someone there, even when he is out of town. Who loves Empire? Raise your hand.
Everyone.
It's radio, so people can't see the raising of the hands. But
oh, good point.
Yeah.
Well, Fox has announced that they have signed Chris Rock, Alicia Keys, and Lenny Kravitz for the upcoming season of Empire. How great is that?
Can't wait. That all sounds good.
Oh, it all sounds good. You may be saying to yourself, Jack White, your last concert was April 26. When can we expect more? Nope. He's taking an indefinite hiatus from the music biz.
Is that right?
Yeah. He wants to focus on other things, like acting. More Jack on the big screen.
Interesting.
Do you remember his last big role?
I don't. What was he in? I know I've seen him in a few things.
I think his biggest was Elvis Presley in the Walk Hard, Dewey Cox droid.
Okay, all right.
Oh, right.
Right.
Now, but he has enough acting to keep him busy?
I don't know.
Well, he's got to make some furniture, too.
That's true.
He's very busy.
He does that.
He's a very, very busy man. Hey, let's talk about some birthdays, shall we? But first, let's talk about some releases. Neon Future 2, Steve Aoki.
Yep.
That is coming out today. Trustfall, that's a side A EP by Incubus. Pitch Perfect 2, the original motion picture soundtrack. And Bush by Snoop Dogg. And I just want to bring up this DVD because I believe we now have a soundbite. We do not have a soundbite. Felt really good about it, though.
Yeah.
But it was from The Cobbler, starring
next
Adam
hour.
Sandler.
We'll try to get it next hour. This movie does not exist.
It doesn't exist.
I
so
don't
that's
think it's
probably
real.
Why we don't have
The Cobbler.
The Cobbler. And Bean, it's about what?
I think, look, I only saw the commercials. I never saw the movie. But my sense was that it was about Adam Sandler plays a cobbler, a guy who repairs shoes. And when he puts those shoes on, he then looks like the person whose shoes they are. We should ask Casey, our button lady, who sees all the movies in the world ever. You should ask her. She would be able to tell us. I'm sure she saw.
No?
But yeah, that and apparently it was in very limited release in theaters and now is available for on-demand or DVD.
Wow, good times. The Cobbler out today. Birthdays, Tony Hawk, 47. Jason Biggs, 37. Emilio Estevez is turning 53. Stephen Baldwin, 49. Emily Van Camp, she is 29. And actress Malin Ackerman, she is 37 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
It's our yearly visit from the great Marc Maron, ladies and gentlemen, creator, executive producer of the TV show Maron, premiering season 3 on IFC this Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Mr. Maron, welcome back to the Kevin B. Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's been a year already, man.
Has it been a year? It just flies. Does it, though? No. It feels like
doesn't
it's
fly.
Been 5 years. I got to get back into the groove of this right now.
So, Mark, we always have a lot of things we want to talk to you about. And I want to start with this. And that is, we found out prior to you coming in that two of the staff members here on the Kevin Bean Show, young ladies, attractive young ladies in their 20s and 30s, have major crushes on you.
Mm-hmm.
That shocked me.
Did it shock you?
It
I don't
did.
Know. What is that insulting? It's a little insulting.
No. I'm just saying, I'm wondering what your experience has been, because you're the kind of guy I think that the girls love and the guys look at and go, what's so special about him? Why does everybody fall over him?
I don't get it. That's what the guys are saying.
Like, the guys are saying, I don't get it.
I think they're not getting it on a couple levels, clearly. If you get my drift. I don't know. You know, sir,
is this a normal thing for you?
To have young women attracted to me?
Yeah.
Look, I don't know why people assume I don't have game. I'm a single 51-year-old man that's out of his mind.
Well, there's that.
And works in his garage.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can limit it to that. Sure. you can look at it that way, my jealous friend. I seem to have lucked out somehow. It was no easy task, and I don't know why it happened, but you know, I've gotten my success at this age of my life, and somehow I feel the slightly creepy but hot uncle / cool professor void in some young women's lives. I mean, it's not a bad position to have.
Yeah, don't argue it. That's all right.
Yeah, I think they're just sort of like, well, maybe I can get some practice in on that guy and
before
learn
I
a couple
find someone
of
to
things
marry.
And then marry somebody and not tell that person about that.
There you go. All right.
I'm a few women's little secret. Is that okay with you?
That's great.
I think I know where it comes from.
Okay. Yes, Allie.
You're a feeler. You're very open.
Should I stop touching you now, or are we
no,
okay?
No, never stop. Okay. You're very open with how you feel about things.
Right.
You're a talker.
Right.
You will discuss feelings.
I think you're saying, no, she's telling me I'm like a woman, is what she's doing.
And you like cats.
Exactly.
I think a lot of women feel
woman.
Safe with you.
Well, I know, and that's the big trick, because underneath it all, just a river of rage.
Right? Yeah, right.
Which adds to the electricity of it all. It's like, look, all these things seem to be in place, but I feel dangerous. Yes. Let me take my childhood out
on
you.
I can sabotage all of that.
Yeah. I've been good. I've been dating a painter, and you know, things are okay right now. I appreciate all the crushes, but I'm trying to be a good boy.
Mm-hmm. So back off, Christine.
Exactly. I wasn't going to name any names. Oh, I didn't want to be embarrassing
apologies.
For her when Mark walks out. But Christine,
apologies.
Yeah, you could probably take her today if you wanted Mark. Well, listen.
Like now? Like right after? Is there a room for that here?
Well, we could find one. Because you have so publicly shared your dating life over the years on WTF. I mean, yeah. I know you hear this all the time, but I mean, I listen to you enough to feel like I know you, even though obviously, you know, we've only met a few times. But I feel like I know you because you share so much. Do you feel like you're getting better at the relationships? Because I think you are. I think you're way better at it now than you used to be.
Well, you know what it is? I'm sharing less. So I've grown a little more diplomatic about my private life because there was a big debacle in me sharing my heart about a woman and being very excited about it and having it just, you know, crap out very quickly and then have to explain that. And it becomes hard to explain that because that's a one-sided event when you break something off.
Yeah.
And the other person doesn't really have a voice in it. And it became, I think, unfair. And that was pointed out to me very aggressively by a woman in that position.
I feel like having relationships in the public eye would be so much harder for so many reasons.
Well, it's a narrative, and I've learned to sort of wait it out a little bit. But I have been, it has been better. I've learned, you know, people ask me if I've gotten more mature, and I think I've just gotten a little more tired. So, like, there's a fine line.
I'm not going to fight that much anymore.
Exactly. I'm exhausted. I don't know if I've grown up, but it's just sort of like, I haven't got the energy for this crap anymore. And, you know, I'm going to sit down and wait for this to pass. It's weird as you get older because there's also that weird line between when people go, do you think you're wiser? I'm like, why? I remember less. And I think that may look like wisdom, but it's really just I'm not hanging on to things. I'm not mad as I used to be about stuff that doesn't seem to matter
just
anymore.
Just because you forgot it.
Yeah, you forget it, and then you try to reengage. You're like, oh, yeah, I hate that guy. And then you're like, nah, I don't know. Not really,
I don't
guess.
Care anymore.
I think it's a little better, I think, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm very busy, and I am a little exhausted all the time.
Mark is doing a fairly lengthy tour all over the United States right now. I mean, you're doing, it seems like, a lot of traveling right now.
Yeah, it's. I've been going out almost like 3 or 4 days a week, and the shows have been great. And this is really my first theater tour, and there are certain markets that are amazing. Most of them.
And that's what? That's 1,000 to 1,500? Is that what
you're talking
about?
Like 800 to 1,200, though, in San Francisco. I played Symphony Hall, which I think we got 1,900 in there, which was pretty crazy.
Check it's, it out.
Yeah, it's very exciting to feel that small in a, in a room designed to accommodate dozens of people with woodwinds. It's nice to be standing up there alone in front of a pipe organ the size of a building.
Can you explain why some cities are better than other cities? I mean, does it...
I don't really
know. I don't
know.
Understand
that. I really don't know because my audience is not specific. There's no age group. It's not really a demographic. It's more of
but
a...
isn't it smart white people? I mean, isn't that what you're going for? So a place like San Francisco or Portland would make sense, I think.
Well, I think, you know, going for is an interesting word that I wish I had that much foresight. So I don't know that I'm going for that. I do know that a certain type of person seems to be compelled towards me and that it's a disposition that runs all ages. But there are occasionally some black people in the room, but thank you for isolating me into a racist corner. Yeah, I'm
but
only
they're
going
working
for
at the club, though, right?
No, I'm only going for smart white people. That's it. That's on the sign. Wait, please, smart white people only. I don't want to have to explain things. Thanks for painting that picture.
You have said we're going to have to take a break here with Mark Maron.
We're not taking
in a moment.
A break.
We're
going to have to take a break.
Then he breaks.
Right? Let's tackle your racism, Bean. Let's talk about that.
Good team.
Here's the question. Here's the question I asked you, Mark. You have said recently that you know you've been doing stand up a long time, over 30 years now, right?
Yeah.
And the nights that you enjoy the most are when things happen in the audience that you've never had happen before. And I was intrigued by that.
Wow. We should talk about that after the break.
After the break, we'll be right back with Mark Maron. Season 3 of his new show, his returning show, Maron, is on IFC this Thursday night at 10. And we'll be right back with Mark after this on camera. Mark Maron, comedian, host of one of the world's most popular podcasts, WTF, and the star of Maron, Season 3, premiering Thursday night at 10 on IFC, is our guest in studio here on K-Rock. Before the break, Mark, before you accuse me of being a racist, I was asking you about these events that happen in the audience at shows sometimes that you've never seen before. And I was curious about that because most people, they want to go out there and do their thing. They don't want to be distracted or disrupted. What's up?
Well, first of all, that was a lighthearted accusation based on facts. And secondly,
it sounds racist.
I just like it. You know, my hour and a half, whatever I do, I usually do. Like on a second show, I can do anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I like there to be room in there for things to happen because when things happen that I know aren't going to happen again, there's a real sort of uniqueness to it. There's a special moment that occurs on stage. And a lot of times that's the moment that I leave the show saying, that was the best moment. When I said that one thing or I was, you know, making that way. Like, and you wouldn't even notice it, but I know it. Like the other night in Vancouver, it was amazing because the show was great, the audience was great, but somewhere in the first 25 minutes, I look down, there's a woman in the front row with an infant.
What?
There's an infant in the club. Now, I was already a little nervous about that show because I ran into a family on the street, a very pleasant-looking, healthy, progressive-looking family. There was a mother, a father, and two teenage kids, a girl and a boy, and they're like, we're all coming to see you. And I'm like, you know, it gets a little filthy at the end. and parents of cool parents of kids always say the same thing, like, oh, they know it all. And I'm like, no, they don't. They really don't know it all.
And I don't want them to learn it from me.
Well, they're gonna. Yeah. So, like, that stuck in my head the whole show. I'm like, you know, do I have to filter that? Would it be appropriate? But I don't want to deny the rest of the audience. I'm going to do
that. Was this an all-ages show? Is that what you found
yourself in? Apparently in Vancouver, it's pretty much all ages in general. So I didn't know that, but I don't know what if it would have made a difference. So I was worried about the teenager. Did it dump that? Really?
I think you can say that.
All right. No, it's dumped. It's gone.
It's dumped.
It's
literally
graphic. Yes. Let's just say graphic sex.
Thank
now,
you. Okay.
Then, so that's on my mind. And then I look down in the front row and there's a baby. There's a baby in the room.
But you can't worry about a baby. The baby can't understand what you're saying.
Here. Okay. So you're trying to do comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. Now,
So eventually, you know, so I'm like dealing with it and everyone's laughing and it's uncomfortable. But then I start busting the kids, you know, yeah, like the kid's mom a little bit. Like, come on. Yeah, I'm being pleasant because obviously she couldn't find a sitter or maybe she's on the run. I don't know why. Maybe she was hiding out. But she was polite enough to not, she brought the kid. So that wasn't particularly polite. But then she moved eventually because it was distracting. So I thought, like, okay, well, she left. That was the right thing to do. But from the back of the room, I'm like, and I'm like, I have never been heckled by a baby. Very hard to get. You can't shut them up. You know, you can say whatever you want. It's not going to have any effect on them.
So it sounds like the way you're telling it now, it wasn't a good thing. But that night, it seemed like you felt like you were excited that something had happened because it kind of broke you out of your comfort zone of just, quote unquote, doing the act, right?
Well, I very rarely just do the act. I can't stand when that happens because then I get
bored. You get bored.
Well, it's not bored. You just feel disconnected. And I think that it's important for me to connect to the audience, even if it's not necessarily comfortable. So I'm rarely in a comfort zone. But that sort of made it all very immediate. And to manage a situation like that in a comedic way is very exciting. And in my mind, that's a lot of what the skill set that I've built over however many years I've been doing this enables me to do. And I don't think anybody's going to forget that show. Because there'll be a couple of people that are like, yeah, I can't believe that woman brought baby. But the people that really appreciated would rightfully say it was pretty hilarious because there was a lot of emotional weirdness going on when you have to be polite and aggressive at the same time. And also it's a baby. And I don't know what I did to that baby's head. Everyone assumes like it's 18 months. What's it going to know? Well, in 20 months, 20 years from now, when that kid's in therapy going like, I hear a loud voice. It's an angry, needy Jewish voice. And I don't know where it comes from, but I hear it in my sleep.
Mark Maron is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk a little bit about Maron. You're back for season 3. What we've seen so far, we got a chance to watch the first episode. Kevin, you saw 2 of them last night. Looks like a great season. Are you still having fun doing it, Mark?
I think this was the most fun, actually. I think that after the first 2 seasons, I knew going in as a comic who has watched many of my friends become successful and be on television that, you know, there is a learning curve no matter who you are. You can't enter a situation like that and just be perfect and know everything. So, you know, finding my groove as that character that lives up there, that is me, and also in the writing, and I did some directing both seasons. And a lot of the guys are back, most of the writing staff and the production staff, obviously. So I think this season we really got a good groove going, and it's a lot funnier. I let myself be funnier, and it just feels like a well-oiled machine, and all the stories are really great. I'm just very proud of it, and I think it's the best one. So I had the best time this season is what I'm telling you.
A lot of people don't realize Judd Hirsch and Sally Kellerman are your actual parents, too.
It's weird. Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody for that, you know, that for years, that they are my actual parents.
Sure.
And why they denied me any help in show business for most of my career is baffling me.
Mark, let me commit an interviewing faux pas by not asking you about your show, but asking you about somebody else's show. What the hell is going on with Louie this season? Do you have any idea? Do you watch that?
No, I don't. I don't watch much of anything, and it's nothing personal. It's like I don't listen to podcasts. I don't find the time, really. What have I been watching? I just shifted over to what I've been watching.
That was good.
I watched Better Call Saul. I've watched
that
most
was
of
great.
Those. Yeah, I'll watch things. I just haven't been watching Louie. I haven't been hearing much about it. I do know that him and I are getting along better. So
you don't want to comment?
No. It's not a matter of comment. Oh. How can I comment? I haven't watched any of them. But I know I'm not in it this season. I was last season. I'll text him and ask him what's going on.
it's gotten so dark. I mean, Ali, you were saying you can barely hang now, right?
It doesn't make, I don't know what he's doing.
Well, you know, Louis is, if anything, not only a great comic, but he's willing to push some limits, and you know, he is a filmmaker, and that is in his heart, so maybe he's just going a little darker because he can.
He's stretching that filmmaking thing to a level.
You're saying maybe it's not television anymore?
Yeah,
it's not TV anymore, exactly.
Well, the Maron show is definitely funny. In fact, I have a clip from the episode that you'll see Thursday night on IFC. Who's the terrific actress that's playing your girlfriend that you're dating at the beginning of the season, Mark?
Constance Zimmer.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great. She's in a lot of things. People will recognize her from, what's that Kevin Spacey thing on the Netflix, the political one?
House of Cards?
House of Cards. She's in that. Yeah. She's like an actress that's been in a lot of stuff, and she's great.
No, she's terrific. So your character has been dating her for just a couple months, and the day before this phone call takes place, you kind of have accidentally met her young son, and now you're having a conversation about where the relationship is headed next. Listen up. This is, again, from Marin, Thursday nights at 10 on IFC.
Hey, baby.
Hey, skinny. Look, I'm sorry that yesterday was so weird.
No. I think I could have handled it better.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to handle me better. Do you want to come over for dinner?
Don't you have Jackson tonight?
Yeah. But, you know, now that the ice is broken, I thought maybe you could spend some time together. Lovely. So, you can come over and me, but you can't spend 5 minutes with my son?
Oh, yeah, 5 minutes I could do.
Mark Marin from Marin. Hey, do you have time to stick around for one more so we can talk about, to catch up with the podcast and talk about some other stuff, Mark?
Sure, man.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Am I going to see the pig's face or what?
No.
He wears that in a studio?
No, they're not here. They do the show remotely.
What?
Yeah, they hate each other.
Oh.
The pig does it from his home studio up in Seattle, and Pete is in Los Angeles.
That is Mark Maron here on the Pete and the Pig show here on World Famous K-Rock.
It was just, you just inspired that. That was not, had nothing to do with the real dynamic. Uh-huh. It was just, it was an inspiration that I got from you. I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, well, we would have thanked you for the kind portrayal, Mark, on the TV show. Thank you for that.
Can I be the baffled and shocked lady?
Yeah,
yes,
sure you can.
Oh, still.
Yeah. Was that episode? That wasn't the Radio Cowboy
episode. No, that was another one, but I got that one, too. Listen up.
Yeah, there's always the main guy, and then there's the laughing guy, and then there's the baffled and shocked woman. It's like, brr, 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 brr. Oh, fellas.
So you're the baffled and shocked woman.
Awesome.
Come on, you got to admit that. It's pretty perfect.
It's pretty accurate. I mean, let's be honest. Kevin was asking. Kevin, why don't you ask the question to Mark that you were asking me right before he walked in?
You seem to hate radio.
No.
You seem to.
I don't
Why
know if
would you come in if you don't like it?
I don't
and
think
I
that's
wasn't
true.
Saying that as an attack. I just was afraid.
Oh, no. I don't think that's true. I think that, like, I have a tremendous appreciation for a great morning team. I have a tremendous appreciation for a great, you know, afternoon team. I understand it. I did morning radio a bit. I was never a veteran of it. But I do think there's some hackneyed kind of tropes that happen a lot.
Oh, there's no question.
Right. So I think that's what I was really making fun of. But a good radio team is amazing. I like being part of it. I like walking into a studio like with you guys and just like going. I mean, there are certain people that have been doing it long enough to where they have confidence to let the show just happen, and there's a momentum to it, and the personalities are grounded. I have nothing against radio. I just I think those
bad
were
radio.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what I was saying is bad radio, and I think that the exploration of radio with Phil Hendry in that episode, I've gotten a lot of feedback about that episode because that episode
does everyone think it's about them.
Well, no, but people who are in the game are like, you know, you sort of nailed the dynamics of it, the politics of it, and what we're up against. It's a tricky business now. And guys who, like you guys, have been in it forever and have survived in it. I mean, God knows you've probably seen so many people like, what happened to that guy? Yeah. You know, and it is what it is, but I have nothing against it. I enjoy it. It's where I learned how to do whatever the hell I'm doing in my garage is. And I didn't even spend that much time. I would never, you know, I respect radio enough to not say that I did it for very long.
Well, we always appreciate when you do squeeze in some time for us. Mark Maron is here the Thursday night at 10 on IFC. It's the season 3 premiere of his show, Maron. You talked about working in the garage, and I want to talk about the podcast a little bit because this has been – I read an article yesterday that mentioned that you were one of the three podcasts in the world that can get A-level guests. They mentioned you, Hardwick, and Bill Simmons. Those were the three that were mentioned.
Wow.
And you had your all-time number one guest that you've always wanted to have since you were a little boy on this season with Mick Jagger. That was one of the most entertaining episodes ever. Kevin, I don't know if you caught it or not.
I didn't.
But Mark spends the first hour basically just trying not to hyperventilate with excitement because Mick Jagger is going to be calling on the phone. Well, I've never heard you so excited about anything in your life. How do you think it went?
Well, the weird thing about it was, you guys know, you know, there's an interview and then there's the junket interview. So you know where you're only going to get 10 minutes, and that's a radio thing. When I got pitched that stuff, I couldn't believe, I was sort of a
I'll explain it to you. Okay. So I get this opportunity to get, I get hooked up with someone who's doing promo for the new tour. And they're like, we thought it'd be interesting if maybe Mick does a day and Keith does a day, maybe Ronnie does a day. And they'll do like tour related 10 minute interviews. I'm like, well, you know what? I do an hour. That's what I do.
Right.
Like I said that. Like, you know, it's, that's not really my show. And they're basically like, well, we understand that. But this is what we get. This is what you get. You want the Stones, and we thought it would be a good place for them to talk. And
we should mention that you're a fanatical Rolling Stones fan.
Yeah, I love the Stones.
Like, they're your band.
I'm a Keith guy, and I love Mick, but, you know, I'm really a Keith guy. But they're very important to me, yes. So that's what happens.
Okay,
so,
but let me ask you this question, because this comes to us all the time, too, and that's that we're huge fans of somebody, and if they can only do, sometimes for us, it's like 6 minutes.
Right.
Don't you take that instead of not having them?
Well, that was the issue. It's like, what do you do? Because, right. Like, I've established this show, and I know the Stones got this new tour. And, well, I asked my producer, you know, Brendan, my business partner, and I said, look, you know, they want to come on, but it's only for 10 minutes. He's like, it's the Rolling Stones.
Right. Well, that's the point.
I mean, you talk about the Rolling Stones constantly. Who cares? Mick Jagger's going to call your garage. And you're like, I don't know if I should do that. Keith Richards is going to call the garage. And I'm like, okay, you're right. But I did want it to be like a show that was full. So I called my buddy Dean Del Rey. He's a comic, and he's a crazy Stones fan. Right. And, you know, he opens for me sometimes. He's hilarious. I've interviewed him before. And I'm like, he's the only guy I could possibly think would be as excited about this as I am. So I had him over, and we just sat there waiting for Mick to call. Talking about the Stones. That was the show. For me, like, people who listened to it said that was the best part.
It was the best part.
Because he could have called at any minute.
Well, there was that. Second. But it was just that I knew, like, there was not, I might not get, I wasn't going to break news. There was nothing going to happen between me and Mick.
Yeah, because they restricted you as to what you could talk about.
A little
too.
Bit. You know, and it's also 10 minutes, and they want to talk about the tour. But I just, you know, and we're looking at the phone. And we're waiting, and we're talking, and then, like, the phone rings. I'm like, oh, God. And then it's the publicist, like, he's running late. Yep. You know, can he call in a half hour? We're like, all right. And then I shut everything down, and I guess they hadn't gotten to Mick yet, because 2 seconds, right after I shut everything off, the phone rings. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I turn everything back on. And I go, hello? And he's like, Mark. And I'm like, no! So it was pretty
crazy.
Now
you're terrified you're going to embarrass yourself in front of your hero. You're going to say something dumb, or worse. You're going to freeze and not know what to say to him, right?
Well, it was a little touchy. It was interesting because all I hoped for was that I could connect, and that's, you know, usually what I do. I'm going to infuse myself into this,
right?
And I felt that Mick and I, we did all right, and he was very charming, and, you know, he was attentive, and he made a joke, and we engaged. But when I talked to Keith Richards the following week or the following day or whatever the next podcast was, that to me was insane, because, like, I needed to connect with Keith. So right away, I'm like, how you doing, Keith? You know, thanks for doing this. And he's like, it's part of the job. Like, right, you know, like, right away, it's like, all right, I get it. But he made a joke to me, because I told him, I said, you know, you're the reason I started smoking cigarettes. You're the reason I started drinking Jack Daniels. You're the reason I bought a Telecaster. I told him I should have probably learned how to play guitar before I did the other stuff. But he's like, sometimes it goes that way. You know, he's making jokes. And then I told him he changed my life because of that. And then we talked for a while about this. And then at the end, like, I got nervous. And I, you know, I was like, you know, this has been great talking to you. I think this call changed my life. And he goes, not again, baby. You know, and so, like, I just thought that was amazing. But I really felt like I knew I had 10 minutes. And Jagger kind of, you know, I knew he was wrapping up. And Keith, there was a moment where I'm like, I don't think he's got much to do today.
I could keep him for a long time.
I felt that. And I choked.
Filibuster Keith Richards.
But I choked. I was like, I got to go.
That's the problem with too high of expectations. And we've had people in who we worship.
Yeah.
And they're terrible interviewees.
The
worst.
That's
another thing that's
like,
or we're
like
terrible,
like
by the way. And then we kick ourselves in the ass the rest of our lives.
I mean,
we are terrible at times, but there are also people who come on that just don't naturally put themselves out.
That's right. Especially,
and I love them. Like Trent Reznor is a good example.
Well, musicians,
he really doesn't put himself out there much,
right.
But I love what he does.
Right.
And every time he comes in, I'm like, this time we're going to really make it work. And well,
musicians don't have to. I mean, I learned that, you know, early on, is that, you know, part of their mystique is the fact that, you know, they just got to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a relationship with their music and their image and what you assume they are. And then you can get into it with them and you're like, oh, my God. You know, like I was like Nick Cave was tricky for me.
Right.
Right.
I can see that.
Yeah, because I went in because I need to have a conversation. I don't set up questions. So if they're not going to – if they're sitting there waiting for questions, it's going to be a tricky hour.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He, and but he wouldn't engage. But then, you know, people told me, like, that was great. That's just the way he is. Like, at some point, you have to just accept – like, that's the way they are. And sometimes people have not heard them talk ever.
Yeah.
So they're getting whatever. I keep doing that. However I judge my experience emotionally with an interview, I've got to shut my mouth. I learned to not talk about that because anyone else's experience is going to be like, I can't believe he said anything. You know, like,
all right, so what, knowing how you are about the Stones, now that you've made that connection with both Mick and Keith, they've invited you as their guest to their San Diego show. Now, in your mind, Mark Maron.
Keith did. Mick did. And, like,
Mick did, right.
I don't think he's going to be there going, where's Mark?
But in your mind, though, you're going to join the band. You're now going to be part of the entourage,
that's
right?
What's going to – oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to go because I don't want to let Mick down. You know what I mean?
I'm not going on until Maron gets here.
He's going to be worried. But to tell you the truth, yeah, I did hear back from whoever's in charge of – maybe it was the publicist or whatever. They've secured me two tickets.
Look at that.
And then I was like, well, can I get one more? And they're like, I don't know if we can do that. So I, you know, maybe Mick doesn't remember that, you know, he asked me personally, and I have it on the air.
If you had the tape of all the other 10-minute interviews he did that day, do you think he invited everyone else to?
I don't know. What do you got to ruin things for?
The answer's yes.
No, but I should pull that clip and send it to whoever's in charge of the tickets going, look, he did not say how many people I could bring.
He didn't say two.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, that's going to be awesome.
Well, that was the weird moment with him. As I said, I had not seen them since Madison Square Garden in 1981. And he's like, you really got to come more than every 35 years. but in my mind, it was like, you know, the Stones included Bill Wyman. And I just pulled out. And I saw them, and I brought up that concert in 1981 at Madison Square Garden because I got tickets through the lottery system where it was sort of
nice.
Democratic.
And he remembered that show, by the way.
Well, yeah, because Screaming, like, I heard James Brown was going to open, and then all of a sudden Screaming Jay Hawkins comes out. Like, Screaming Jay Hawkins, probably in his 60s or 70s, in Madison Square Garden, just him and this weird voodoo stick doing, and Mick was like, oh, yeah, that was weird. You know, like, because James canceled at the last moment, and I don't know where they got Screaming Jay Hawkins, but it was trippy, man.
Well, it was a terrific interview, as all of the interviews are on WTF. You really are the master at that game, Mark. So
thank you, buddy.
Keep up the good work, sir. And we're very excited about season 3 premiering for the TV show called Maron. It's going to be Thursday night on IFC, and it looks great. Well, I guess we'll see you next May, man. Thanks for the visit.
I'll come in. I live down the street. It's just hard to get across town. I'll come twice a year.
You have to come in more than every 35 years.
Okay, I'll do it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Give you a chance to win those tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Reedy Roast 2015, which is going to be coming up this Saturday at Irvine Meadows. Not now, but in a few minutes we'll tell you when to call. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Hey, guys. American Idol, we all know, 15th and final season happening starting in January.
Yep.
Supposedly the same judges, Jennifer Lopez, Harry Connick Jr., Keith Urban, but now talk is will Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, and Randy Jackson be back, whether in a guest role or in
singing?
A big... No.
Oh, sorry.
That'd be amazing. Paula singing. A Fox executive has said, and I quote, we'd welcome any of them back. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, they did say that the whole season was going to be a celebration of the series, so I suspect we're going to see a lot of previous contestants as well and highlight packages and everything. I mean, they're going out with a bang. It's
Are
time,
you
right?
going to watch that, Bean?
No, I'm not going to watch it. I don't have any interest.
Brian Dunkelman? Will he be back?
Nope. What has he been doing for the last 14 years? Does anyone know?
I think he does stand-up. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty sure. But he tweeted yesterday. He, of course, was the original host with Ryan Seacrest, who quit after season one because he thought, well, this isn't going anywhere.
This is going to suck.
Right? He tweeted, I knew American Idol would never last without me. Hashtag canceled. Very funny.
That is funny.
Well done.
What do you think his life has been like, you guys, for the last 14 years, seeing Ryan Seacrest take over the world with American Idol as his launching pad? Being one of the most successful producers in television, you think it's been killing him?
I can't imagine it's not.
I think at some point, though, you just have to come.
Yeah, I guess, but then it's still in your face like twice a year.
You can't avoid Ryan Seacrest.
No, I think he's at peace with it. If I know Dunk, that's what I call
Do you
him.
Know Dunk?
I don't.
All right.
But if I did, I would hope that for him.
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow. You guys, we all know her website, Goop. Mm-hmm. Big yeah. fans of it. Are you?
Not nope. so much.
She's a bitch.
I don't know if that's true, but her 9-year-old son, Moses, she wound up posting his card to her from Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off very sweet. So, dear mom, you're wonderful because you always help me feed and play with the bunnies. My favorite part of the day is when we watch the bunnies turn around in the garden. Cute, right? Okay, that's cute you posted that. The next sentence, thank you for teaching me how to start a website. I love your website, and I want to have one, too.
What?
Love, Momo. Really? Your 9-year-old is saying, I love your website, and I want you to help me start one?
So you're suggesting she put those words
she
in his
added
mouth
that.
To publicize Goop?
To publicize Goop, and maybe she's going to now do a kid's website
Goop
with
Jr.
her son, Goop Jr.,
I
with
love
Moses.
Your website.
I love Come your on. Website, and I wanted to have one, too. Love, Momo.
And look, I know little kids look up to their parents, but there's nothing about Goop that would be appealing to a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
They don't care about scented candles and soaps and things like that or whatever they do, right?
Some kids do. No.
No
kids
don't.
Do.
Nope.
No kids do.
No.
All right, you guys, let's wrap this up. Some birthdays. Ving Rhames, 56. Emilio Estevez, 53. Tony Hawk, world-class gentleman. He is 47 years old. Emily Van Camp is 29. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
And we have tickets and backstage passes. Tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. We'll take your calls right now. 1-800-520-1067.
Right?
Right?
Exactly. Hey, speaking of the Muse, we're going to be seeing them on Saturday at the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015 at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. They are one of the many, many bands on the bill. We had something else planned here. I'm going to rip back the curtain on the Kevin Bean Show. We had something else planned here, but the guy involved in that, our friend Ralph Garman, is out today. But it's okay because if Ralph's the man of 1,000 voices, Dave Sanchez, our producer, the King of Mexico, is the man of one voice.
Two voices.
So we're,
excuse me, two.
You know what? I
got to
put a
two.
I got to put a question mark after the one.
Well, one.
What are your two voices, Dave?
One is Chewbacca.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
What's your next best celebrity impression?
Hey, everybody, it's Ray Romano. Oh, I won't be there this Saturday, but you can.
How is that Ray Romano?
Wow, that's like Fat Albert. And Ray Romano had a baby that sounds nothing like either of them.
Yeah. So Dave came in and said,
"Shut
how
up,
about
guy.
A, how about you know, how about if I read
I'm
lyrics?"
Bad as it is, but you know what, guys, leave me alone.
How about if I read lyrics as Ray Romano? We said, "Let us hear your Ray Romano," and of course, it's terrible.
So we said, "We're in." That's why this game is called Ray of Sunshine.
What tickets do we need? Play Ray of Sunshine
in the pit and backstage. That's where you'll be.
Play Ray of Sunshine,
King of Mexico, impersonating
Ray Romano.
Gonna sing you songs, probably sound nothing like Ray Romano at all.
Hey, it's time to play Ray of Sunshine with me, Ray Romano. Why does Omar have to be out too?
It's just
oh
the
man,
worst.
This is a bad day.
Terrible idea for a game, though. It makes no
I
sense.
I love it. I couldn't love it more.
All right. So once again, callers, Dave is going to be reading lyrics from songs that you will hear on Saturday if you win these tickets. There will be bands that are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015, but he'll be doing them as Ray Romano.
A second-rate janky Ray Romano.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever. So he's like the guy in North Korea who overdubs Ray Romano's TV show. He's that guy. All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Try to focus on the lyrics and not how bad Dave is because he's going to be reading lyrics. We have Joshua from Bellflower. Hi, Joshua.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
I bet you're so disappointed that you stumbled into this bit this morning, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not the best news.
Let's see. Let's see. Maybe get
this will be good, Joshua. Hold on.
All right, Ray Romano, what's your first lyric, please?
Wait, time out, guys. Hey, do you want me to sing them or talk?
Still on the mic. Still on the mic.
I think you got to say them if you're being Ray Romano.
Yeah.
I want to ask you to sing,
right, ready,
too.
Ready?
So.
Time in.
Hey, Joshua. All right, here we go. This is how I show my love. I made it in my mind because I blame it on my ADD, baby. Huh.
Oh my God,
Joshua! ADD should have given it away.
Yeah. Right. That's in all over the lyrics. You've heard it 1,000 times. What song is that, please? Title and artist.
Oh, Jesus.
It's one of the bands on Weenie Rose.
So sorry. We were looking for Sail by AWOL Nation. Sounds familiar, right?
This does, yeah.
That was pretty good.
So what Dave did doesn't sound familiar at all. All right, Lance in Oxnard.
Hey there.
Hi.
Lance, did you ever think when you woke up this morning you'd be talking to the great Ray Romano?
No.
You're not. You're still not.
Hey, Lance. How's it going, man?
All right. Here's Ray with your lyrics, title and artist.
By the way, we're doing this game when Ralph gets back as well. This is awesome.
All right. We were the victims of the night, the chemical, physical kryptonite, helpless to the base and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together.
Lance, what song is that?
Oh, I know this song.
Band and title.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
You do.
Then tell us what it is by title and artist.
Muse.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, it's Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance. Yeah, it didn't sound anything like that.
All right, Ray, is it on you or is it on the callers so far, do you think?
I think it's on the callers.
Yeah, I'm going with Ray. All right, let's say good morning to Valerie in Southgate. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
All right, you ready for the great Ray Romano to read some lyrics?
I hope so.
All right, Val, let's get this.
All right.
I was scared of Dennis and the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations.
Dance, joy, riptide.
All my friends are turning green.
How did she do that?
You're the magician's assistant in my group.
We got it. All right. Well done, Valerie. You are in the drawing. You are one step closer to being in the pit with us this Saturday. Hang on, please.
All right. Let's go to Stephanie in Los Angeles.
Hi.
Hi there.
Are you ready, Steph?
Yes.
All right, let's do this.
You know you're supposed to be doing a Ray Romano impression, right?
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, I know. All right. Far away. This ship has taken me far away. Far away from the memories of the people who care if I live or die. Oh, no one cares.
What do you think there, Steph?
Just hang up now.
Is this Starlight from you?
What?
It is.
Yes! What?
It actually is.
Wow. How? I would have bet $1 million against her getting that.
How did that come to you? It sounded like you were completely blank and then just out of nowhere. What happened?
I love you.
All right.
Okay.
Congratulations. Ray Romano.
You're not Ray Romano.
You are in the drawing. Who's up next? I think we've got time for maybe two more.
Let's see here. We have Stephanie. I don't know. They're
that
putting stuff.
Stephanie.
It's another Stephanie.
Yeah. It's another Stephanie.
A different Stephanie. Okay.
All right, Stephanie. Let's go.
All
right. You sound like a sad Muppet, Dave.
Time out. Shut up.
All right, time in.
Who calls time out? We don't have a timeout rule.
All right, pay attention. I chime in with, haven't you people ever heard of closing a goddamn door? No, it's much better to face these kinds of things with a sense of poise and rationality.
Panic at the Disco, I write songs, not tragedy.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
All right, mercifully, one more contestant. This is the first and last, I hope, edition of Ray of Sunshine.
I want this to go on forever. Jennifer, hi.
Hi.
All right, Jen, let's do this. run fast for your mother. Run fast for your father.
Run for your
children.
Yes,
sorry
nicely
to cut
done.
You off, Ray. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, it's all right. I was done.
All right. We have a lot of ladies in the running for pit tickets and backstage passes for this weekend. Valerie, Stephanie, the other Stephanie, and Jennifer. Only one can win. Miss Helen McKay, who's it going to be, please?
The winner is Stephanie, and she did the Panic at the Disco song.
That was the second
Stephanie Silva in Inglewood.
Oh my God.
Congratulations, you got tickets in the pit and backstage passes.
No way, thank you so much.
Well done, thank you for
playing this terrible game.
We need to have the King of Mexico do that impression more often.
It's pretty strong.
A lot of people thought there was some Pee Wee Herman in that. A lot of people thought it was Special Needs Kermit the Frog. It definitely was not Ray Romano. We know that. That's the only impression we know it wasn't was Ray Romano, but that was fun. Hey, we're really not worthy to have Mary McNamara back on the show. She, of course, Los Angeles Times television critic. You know, this year, Kevin, after being in the part of the selection process for a couple of years in a row, she actually won a Pulitzer Prize for criticism.
Is that good?
Mary, is that good, winning the Pulitzer Prize?
I didn't
good. It is good.
All right.
Very exciting.
Do you get, is it like other awards that we've seen, the Emmys or the Oscars, where you get a statue that you can put in your house?
I think you do. My editor said there is some sort of statuary involved. You know, my understanding of the Pulitzers is like strictly from that scene in The Wire when the lying journalist won his Pulitzer.
Right.
And he like seemed to get an envelope, but nothing. And so that's what I thought it was. But I'm going, they have a luncheon at Columbia University, and that is at the end of May. So fantastic. I will let you know what I get.
Well, you know, I really was so happy for you when I saw the news because, A, I've read you for years, but, B, you've been kind enough to come on the show before. So we definitely wanted to make note of that and congratulate you because that is really – that is awesome, and you should be very proud, Mary.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I think the reason I won is because I do come on your show.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That raised my profile just enough.
Well, we wanted to have you on because we know that you are the only person who watches more TV than we do, and you kind of have to with your job. This is a big couple of weeks, this period, where we find out what shows are coming back, what shows aren't, some shows that were made that will never make the air. Were there any – we got a few I want to ask you about, but let me start with just a general question. Were there any surprises for you in terms of what's coming back or what's not this season?
I was sad that Mindy got canceled, although I guess there is a chance that the Mindy Project will be coming back on Hulu. I like the Mindy Project. It's struggled for forever. Mm-hmm. I was sad that Cristela got canceled. I really liked that show. It just never really found an audience. And I was actually I was surprised that Battle Creek got canceled. It was a good show. It also had like that big pedigree because it, you know, from the makers of Breaking Bad, and you know, so that was kind of surprising.
It had a great cast. Yeah, it really did. It was different.
Yeah, and they didn't give it another season to see if it could find its feet. But you know, it is what it always is. I mean, every network I think canceled like, I don't know, 7 or 8 shows, and they're bringing out, there's a whole new slate of shows, and this is the way it goes every year. But everybody always loses, you know, you lose a favorite in every season.
I'm looking at the list, and there's a lot of shows that have been canceled that I never heard of.
Huh, weird.
And there you go.
I mean, it seems... How?
And that is why they are being canceled.
And Kevin, there was a show called Mulaney, I swear.
Yes, there was.
We pay relatively close attention.
That was really... No, that was not a very good show at all. Even though
Mary, let me...
You know, the thing that's good about when you get the cancellation is because these days, almost every show has at least one really good person on it. So
right.
It's like, set Martin Short free so he can get on another show. So that's sort of like you look at the, you know, set Margot Martindale free so she can get a better show. It's like, you know, so that's the way I always look at it. It's like, okay, the players are now in motion again, and maybe we can put them in something that's a better.
Set whoever is in The Taste free.
Yeah,
so that
exactly.
They can do something
the
else. The Taste.
And also, you know, the thing is the Idol is, you know, they're finally canceling American Idol, which was still on, apparently.
Who knew?
Mary, I want to circle back to something you said. You mentioned Mindy, and we have heard, and you made reference to the fact that it may resurface on Hulu. What's the track record been for TV shows, and I'm thinking in particular of Arrested Development going to Netflix, for instance, Community going to Yahoo Screen.
Right.
Is that becoming a viable option to keep these shows alive, or do they sort of disappear a little bit once they're off the actual television?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's not that they disappear when they're off the actual television, because obviously Netflix and Amazon have had success with several shows that are not on the actual television. But I think that right now, the way the model is working is that you go to a streaming service to provide closure to your viewers. Whether we will get a show that then continues on, whether Community will be able to be renewed for another season, that's something that I don't think has happened yet. You know, the Killing went to, I forget, did it go to Netflix? I can't forget. Went to one streaming service to, like, kind of finish up its episode. And, you know, the same Arrested Development was, I don't know, that was just, like, Netflix trying to resurrect a show, like,
right,
trying to figure out what its motto was. So now we need to see whether... you know, we've had shows migrate to other networks and do okay, but whether they can do it in a sustained way, you know, or whether this is just the swan song, whether you can get Mindy and What's-His-Face married and they have their baby or whatever, or whether there actually will be life after that.
Has a show ever been cut down, like, to a specific amount of episodes and actually come back to the actual order the next season, or is that basically the kiss of death?
Oh, wow. I'm sure there's an exception to, there is an exception to every rule, and I will hear from the people who are like, you know, I mean, shows have been resurrected. You know, Chuck was saved by Twitter.
Right.
And, you know, other shows, you know, Family Guy came back from the dead. I mean, it's like, you know, everything has happened once. It's whether it's a sustainable model or not. You know, I mean, everything can happen once. But, yeah, I mean, when you get your order cut, they're basically saying, you know, this is, you need to sum up. You need to,
we don't believe
it's
in
just
you.
Like when
right.
you hear the orchestra playing.
Yeah.
You need to
start walking.
Wrap it
yeah.
up.
This is the voice of Mary McNamara on The Kevin and Bean Show. She's a television critic and a novelist, too. She works for the Los Angeles Times covering television and entertainment news. I have to ask you about Undateable. This was a surprise to me. It's a show that has had so-so ratings, but now they've announced it's coming back, but every episode next season is going to be live. Explain the thinking behind that, if you would, Mary.
I think it's just, you know, they're trying to, everybody is experimenting. This is the great age of exploration in television. And you know what? And I, like, totally welcome it. I think it's fabulous. It's like I was just doing a review for the first Netflix show that's going to be dropped episodically. It's not going to be a full season drop. It's going to be dropped once a week. So now you have Netflix going to episodic and you have television going to live. And, you know, television has been experimenting with, you know, its live roots with these big shows, Peter Pan and stuff like that. So I think that it's interesting that you're going to see a comedy live. Maybe it will, you know, maybe they're hoping that mistakes will add to the humor. I don't know. That show, I was just having a conversation. I did not like that show, but then people were telling me, oh, no, it really grows on you, and you have to watch it again. And I'm just like, oh, no, I don't think so. But so maybe that's what, you know, they're just hoping that that's going to give them a refresh, you know,
right.
We'll try this, and
I mean,
maybe it'll work.
Everybody DVRs everything, and maybe there's a tiny incentive to not DVR and to watch it live if you think something cool is going to happen that you don't know about, I guess. All right, last question on the schedule. Allie and I both have heard sort of conflicting news on what's really going to happen with the original CSI. It has been canceled, but there are more episodes still to air?
Oh, I think that is true. I think that is true, but I don't know.
I feel like you don't know much more than we do.
I don't, yes, no. I mean, the CSI universe is like, I totally need to Google that right now because it's like, I can't even keep track. It's
yeah,
like need,
yeah. Well, and there are so many shows. Yeah.
You need a whiteboard that looks like you're a crazy person with strings and stuff.
I heard that CSI Cyber, the new one with James Vanderbeek, I heard that one is coming back, but I heard that they're finally going to, after 15 years, retire the other one, but they did announce some sort of limited wrap-up to the series,
right.
I guess.
Yes, and that would be so you can provide closure. Everybody needs closure.
In the list, and this is my final question, I see in the list of shows that are brought back that have been renewed, Big Brother, that's still on?
On CBS, a great show.
Yes.
Yeah, the host, great host,
too. A great host, I agree.
Yeah.
Because she's married to her boss, so we must love her. But
my question is, that show, was that on this year?
Yes.
Yeah, it's on every summer.
Don't you remember, like, they got in big trouble, was it last year or the year before, when they had the racist rant on the...
That's
because
right.
they started live streaming.
That's
in between,
right.
And they got,
that's
and it was,
right.
like, a big, huge thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Season 8.
Big Brother.
I mean, the thing is, with all of these, you know, you don't have to have big numbers on some of these networks. You know, as long as you have a dedicated audience that's willing to tweet and go on social media and talk about it, then that's successful.
Exactly. All right. Great stuff, Mary. As always, we appreciate your coverage in the Los Angeles Times. And you can follow Mary on Twitter, and you should, at Mary Mac TV. Congratulations again on the Pulitzer. We'll talk to you again soon. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Our friend Ralph Garman will be back tomorrow on The Kevin and Bean Show. We are thinking, in the meantime, one more showbiz beat left. Here's Allie filling in. What's going on?
Guys, it's not really fun when you're a wedding singer. Graduation singer, that type of thing, when you've constantly got parents, people calling all the time, checking on this. Do you have this song? We're going to want this song at this time. It's a lot of work.
That seems horrific.
Right?
Yeah, it really does.
Nobody really appreciates you the way they should. Well, what about this mom that called this band, this according to the Tampa Bay Times, this band called Phase 5. This mom named Nancy called and kept asking questions. Do you know this song? Do you know that song? What about food? Do you guys need extra kind of food?
What?
They were like, what's happening right now? Well, she then dropped this nugget. Would my husband be able to sit in with you guys, do you think? And your answer would be, no, ma'am, seriously. Yeah,
that's the worst thing. Yeah. That's got to be the worst thing for a band is if somebody at the wedding party or bachelor party or graduation, whatever it is, wants to come up and jam with you.
Yeah. Well, here's the plot twist. Her husband is a man, I don't know if you know him from his band that he was in before, called the Beatles. Her husband is Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a graduation party for her son, Arlen Blakeman. And, yeah, he wound up not only...
How does she not lead with that?
I think she was gauging him. Like, we'll see how they feel about this.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he sat in with the band, played I Saw Her Standing There, a few other tunes, and improvised some blues. Can you imagine? That? How cool is that?
That's very cool.
That makes up for, like, 5 years of hell. Yeah. I would think.
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier. Then that next, like, bat mitzvah just blows.
Remember when Paul came out? Yeah.
Extra hard, right? just very sad. All very sad. You guys, the FX American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson, has some new cast.
Yes.
New cast details. Selma Blair, she will be playing Kris Jenner. David Schwimmer, he will be playing Robert Kardashian. John Travolta as Robert Shapiro. Of course, OJ being Cuba Gooding Jr. Sarah Paulson, Marcia Clark. No word yet on Nicole Brown Simpson. But producer Christine had a great, great cast idea.
Okay.
Angie Harmon.
Interesting.
If you look at the side-by-side, they look a lot alike. Yeah. Playing her sister, of course, will be Jordana Brewster. She's going to play Denise Brown. And I know that you were worried, Hans and Franz, Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon, they haven't recorded a new State Farm commercial, and you love the first one, right?
Right. No. I mean, it was a good little quick flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Done with that, right, though?
Nope. Hmm. There's going to be more.
Okay.
But not Hans and Franz. No, no. We're going to dip back. Maybe even a little farther. We're going to go to the Coneheads. Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin, and Lorraine Newman are going to be in some new State Farm commercials.
That is awful.
It's not great. Yeah. I don't think it's that great.
Not interested.
No, not at all. Game of Thrones setting some new records, but not good ones. These are for illegal downloads. Variety says the latest episode on Sunday was downloaded more than 2.2 million times worldwide from file-sharing sites in less than the 12 hours after it debuted on Sunday night. Where would you think the number one illegal downloads were happening from? What country?
China. North
nope.
Korea.
Nope.
Russia.
Nope.
I'm out.
All right. The U.S., number one. Number two, Australia. Number three, Brazil. Four, India. Five, the UK. So not even close in there at all.
Yeah.
Jack White, if you didn't see him in his concert on April 26th, you might be out of luck for quite some time. According to his sources or his spokespeople, not his, because that would really just
that would be weird.
Him. Yeah, he is not going to be doing music for a while. He wants to get back into acting. What do you think about that?
I think that's a guy that can do anything he wants.
I do too, yeah.
If he wants to act, he'll be great at it.
I agree. Some new releases today. CD-wise, you've got Neon Future 2 by Steve Aoki. You have got Incubus, Trustfall, Pitch Perfect 2, Original Motion Picture Soundtrack, and Bush by Snoop Dogg. As for DVDs, Still Alice, starring Julianne Moore, Alec Baldwin, Mordecai, Paul Bettany, Johnny Depp, Black Cat with Chris Hemsworth, Tracer, haven't heard of that, starring Tracer. Taylor Lautner. And Just Before I Go with Sean William Scott, Kate Walsh. And something that we were discussing earlier, which didn't even seem real, and I still question it, a movie starring Adam Sandler called The Cobbler.
The Cobbler.
And Bean, you said it's about a guy that fixes shoes. And then...
I think so, and I believe for this report we have some of the trailer for you so we can find out.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so...
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? You'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Yeah.
All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Sounds kind of amateurish. Don't you guys think that
high school movie, I think.
What?
Look, I don't know anything about The Cobbler, but I bet that Omar's movie is better than The Cobbler.
How was work?
Work was same as every other day. 10 and a half. Got some big feet there, kid.
I'm big boned.
Yo, shoe man. Come on, let's go, man. Time is money.
I need these fixed, shoe man. And I need them tonight.
Close at 6.
Close when I get my shoes. Just playing with your shoe, man.
10 and a half.
Stitcher.
I could be anybody I want. Can I help you?
We're trying to stop real estate developers from forcing the regular people out.
If you don't walk out of here right now, I am going to burn this whole place to the ground.
We need people like you to get involved, Max.
It's a privilege to walk in another man's shoes, but it's also a responsibility.
Oh.
You are a guardian of souls. You are the cobbler.
Oh!
Wow. Took a lot of turns, didn't it?
You are the cobbler.
Shoe man.
Who was that? That was...
Yeah.
Some well known
man?
No.
It was Method Man. You talk about it?
Yeah,
was
no,
it
I'm really? Not talking about the black guy that he wears, puts his shoes on and becomes him.
I think it's don't know who else is in it, but that's a thing that's available
that's
for
not
people
a thing
today.
And it's, nope.
It's iZombie, but with shoes.
Yes.
Sort of, yeah.
So go see that. No.
Or don't.
Some birthdays for you guys. Stephen Baldwin, 49 today. Emilio Estevez, 53. Malin Ackerman, 37. Jason Biggs, 37. Skater Tony Hawk turns 47 today. And actress Emily Van Camp is 29. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. Please be back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, Ralph, with Showbiz Beat.
All right, thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to Ryan Getzlaff from the Anaheim Ducks about their series with the Blackhawks. We also have Alex, the lead singer of All Time Low, talking about the Wii Roast this weekend. We have Charles Esten, who's on a little show called Nashville.
Oh, Deacon. He's the best. He's so good, Kevin.
Oh,
you can't believe how good he is.
He's the best is what
he
I hear.
He is the best.
Yep. Right.
It's unbelievable to me that they were able to find so many actors who are such good actors and also such great musicians. That's the miracle of Nashville for me. Is this thing on?
It's true.
Plus, we have tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta tomorrow morning.